The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and OTAs are in full swing. Lots of players here. I'd say most players are here under the watchful eye of Bill Belichick and the coaching staff. Of course, they're not wearing pads, but they're out there together as a team, bonding as they would in this time of year.
When you say most players are here, do you know that? Or?
Yeah, I have word. As a matter of fact, later on Patriots.com, we will have exclusive first look video at the Patriots practicing during the OTA. So look for that later on today on Patriots.com, exclusively on Patriots.com.
I look forward to seeing that.
So that's going to be cool.
So I'll see whether Chandler Jones has got his hand in the dirt or standing up on 2 feet, dropping into coverage.
Right.
Well, I doubt it.
I don't know if you'll see that, but you'll see the players. From a preliminary roll call, most of the guys are here, so it's looking good. Guys are out there, eager to go.
Another step towards New Orleans.
Yep, I think it is. Paul's here. Andy's here. Pepe Le Pen is tweeting. Kevin's in the booth. And, of course, Eric is still prancing.
Gay buddy.
In France. So, I'm sure he's having a good time. We haven't had any blog updates. Has he done anything from France?
You know? I don't know.
Reporting on the...
He didn't update the blog when he was here.
Right.
When he's on vacation.
Okay, that's a good point. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Why are there four bottles of wine on the table?
I don't know.
But tough morning.
They look like bootleg bottles of wine.
Yeah, they look like a homebrew.
Yeah, there's no labels on them.
It's that one's smudged. Syrah 2008. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Que sera, sera.
It looks like something like a pirate would drink out.
Oh, that's Zin 2006.
Okay.
Must be Zinfandel.
Yeah.
Or whatever you say.
Okay. Well, if you got a corkscrew, you can open it up and we'll drink wine on the show.
That's good for you, right?
We've had shots before, right?
I think we're going to get an explanation here
from Paul. There's a person walking in.
It's not the first time this has happened.
I don't know who this is.
Hey, my name is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Are you Eric's cousin?
I am. No, I'm not Eric's cousin, unfortunately. No.
No, fortunately
no,
for you.
Fortunately.
No, Paul's a listener, right?
Yeah, Feudio Paul in, Paulie in L.A. is how I usually...
Paulie in L.A.
Yeah.
And we got word that you might be coming.
Yeah.
So here you are.
Voila.
And you're tanned.
I am.
Wow.
Well, I'm Italian, so it comes with the comes with the location.
And you live in L.A.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Paulie. I'm Italian.
Pasty white Perillo.
Yeah, really.
I'm a white guy.
So what brings you to New England, Paulie?
I'm here for a wedding. Came down for a wedding. My wife had a sister that she was, half-sister that she was going to a wedding.
Yeah.
And so we came down.
You're Paulie from the pregame social guy, right?
Yeah.
Who moved your bed into the living room and your living room into your bedroom?
No.
Oh,
that is not me. I'm married with
John.
Child.
I believe that's John. The other John in L.A.
That's Johnny.
Not John Cockle. It's Johnny in L.A. We have a lot of L.A. listeners.
Yeah?
And I have a bad memory, so I'll just stop tying things together.
You guys are all a lot skinnier in person.
Thank you.
You think so? Well, yeah. Radio puts 10 pounds on.
Yeah, it does. I noticed that.
How many radios are on you?
Yeah.
That was a joke. Nobody got it. All right. Anyway.
We all caught it. Paul laughed.
Well, I tell Paul all the time, I do him a service
by
making fun of him and calling him fat. Because
then
when people see him in person, they say, well,
no,
you're
not
nearly as fat as Andy makes you out to be.
Yeah.
Just a regular, you know.
Well,
he'd be bigger than a house if he was as fat as
the rest of us. Well, yeah.
He should be bigger than a house the way he eats. You see that pepperoni calzone he eats every week that's greasing through the bottom of the box?
He guilted me out of getting that anymore. Now I just got buffalo tenders today.
It is. I'm sure it's very good, but it's disgusting to look at.
What's your diet consisting of these days, Andy? What are you putting back now?
T-ball is my usual here.
Yeah.
Creatine.
Spinach.
Egg whites. No. Protein shakes.
He holds protein shakes.
He has to hold back on the protein because he tore a pec. So now
really?
I can't
pull
my pec. Paul, you know what they say about those torn pecs.
Yeah, what do they
say? Steroid injury.
Yeah.
It's clearly a steroid injury.
Yeah. I read a rumor
That's the next one, when you're doing the curls in there and you're just dropping the barbells wherever they go.
We've been over this 1,000 times.
That's what you do with your Zubas on.
So, Paul, I want to talk to you about what
your
kind
wine.
Of Patriot fan you are, but what's with the bottles of wine? We hear they're from you.
Yeah,
they're from you.
I laid them.
Yes,
I made them. No, my family's been making wine in Connecticut for a very long time. I grew up in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Whereabouts in Connecticut?
What is that conceded?
I don't know.
You're from the best state in the world.
It all depends on where
you're rich if your family
everybody
makes wine.
Everybody in Massachusetts thinks that people in Connecticut are right. like, you know,
preppy
snobs.
I was going more with the my family makes wine.
It depends on where in Connecticut. Where are you from?
I grew up in Bridgeport, Trumbull, Fairfield, all around there.
Okay.
You know, outside of Greenwich,
There's a big difference between Greenwich and Bridgeport.
Exactly.
Well, he started off with Bridgeport, and I was going to backtrack, and then he kind of got more toward Fairfield and Greenwich.
Right. No, they've been making wine a long time, it's called It's a Time Winery. And it started off with grandparents making it, and then my uncles picked it up and started making it. And, you know, all the I'll call it the juice or the grapes, comes from California anyways.
Massage
of the grapes.
Right.
And so they, you know, but they
you
buy
soak your corks before
I'm trying to get, I'm listening
right.
to Paulie explain his wine.
Okay.
I'm going to grab a quick Diet Coke. Then when
that's
y'all
fine. Go
this.
Get a Coke. That's fine, Perillo. you know, they've been making it for, that's better. I like that. I said to myself, you know, I'm the only opportunity to go over there and pay back a little the entertainment you guys give me. I feel like, you know,
let's
share
nice.
With you guys.
So is this going to be, you know, objectively speaking, is this good wine? Because I'm not a wine connoisseur, but I do, when I taste a good wine, I know it.
Yeah,
how?
I would.
How do you know it?
You just know.
You drink wine, Andy?
No. Well, I mean, I've had wine.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Out of a box?
I can't explain why something tastes good.
I drink girly wine.
You like Chardonnay?
No.
Zinfandel?
Riesling.
Oh, it's sweet wine. Very
yeah,
sweet.
Very sweet.
Yummy. Very sweet. Yeah, it is very
girly. My
wife
gets that, and it's very, very
My dad
good.
Likes Riesling, so
See?
You got good taste in wine.
Thank you.
Good for you, man.
See, and that man knows wine, unlike Fred, who pretends he knows
So did I ever tell you about the wedding I had to go to in Texas?
No.
Where it was all
I only just met you.
It was, it was buffet style? You brought up
good, Paulie.
I like this guy. You brought up the wine in the box. So we're going through. It was like buffet, and
right.
like, literally, you went through those like bowls of Fritos and stuff.
Yeah,
and then you get to the end, and there was like a cooler with cans of beer in it and boxes of wine with little spigots.
It's funny. It's made a comeback. There's actually a winery in Australia that has started producing wine in boxes, and it's pretty good.
Box wine is a big college thing. Oh yeah, it's cheap and.
A lot of college
Does it come with a little sippy straw that you can stick in?
No, you take the bag out of the box.
Little juice boxes of wine.
You take Capri the bag Sun out of the box, and then you drink right from the little spigot on the bottom of the bag.
Oh, wow. So proud. Wow. That's what that education's buying you.
We joke about the Capri Sun, but that was one of the guys on Shark Tank.
Oh, really?
His idea was individual glasses somehow sealed, and he kept not selling it, and he came back a second time and wouldn't.
That guy was hilarious. You must have seen him.
I don't.
You ever watch the Shark Tank?
No, I don't watch much TV. I really don't like reality TV in any way, shape, or form.
He just got knocked down a couple.
No, I watch a lot of movies. I like movies.
I listen to you guys.
I like Seinfeld.
And he likes us. So who cares what else he likes?
I listen to you guys.
Well, I have to admit, I am a huge Patriots fan, and so you guys are. It's the effect that you guys have for me as a fan is I feel like I am a little more connected and understanding what's going on with the team. Not only do I read the paper and
mission accomplished.
Yes. That was the goal. That's absolutely the goal.
I really do. I feel a little more personal because I feel like you guys have the inside scoop of what's going on.
Now you know differently.
Yes, exactly. I realize just what a lie and sham it is. No, but honestly, I think you guys do a great job, and I really appreciate the laughs. And that's what the wine is all about.
So thank you.
You know, I would open it up and leave it open for a little while.
Let it breathe.
So wait, which one should I take?
Whatever one you like.
Well, knowing that I like girly wine, which one of these is most girly?
I would probably say the blend is probably a little more.
Is that the one that's all rubbed off?
Let me ask you this, Andy.
Excuse me?
Off, not out.
What? does your wife drink wine?
Yeah.
Does she like red wine or white wine?
White wine.
All right. Well, I would probably just go with the Petite Syrah then, because it's not as heavy and
2008?
Yeah. I would leave it open for a little while.
You know, that was a good year.
Yeah, it was a very good year.
Wait, so all the grapes are shipped in from California?
Yeah, there's apparently the rumor is that years ago when in California where they were trying to grow wine, they went out to New York and took all the Italians and others, I'm sure, to California to teach them how to grow grapes. And the deal was, okay, we'll do that, but you have to make sure you ship grapes back. So down in Arthur Street in New York, I think it's Brooklyn, everybody goes down and buys, you know, grapes to make homemade wine. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. There's actually Martin Scorsese does a little short film about his father, his family, his mother and father in their apartment in New York. And he talks about how they made wine in their apartment in New York, which I just think is hysterical.
It's not like the climate couldn't, you know, because I know like right in Rhode Island here, like a little Compton.
Oh, there's a bunch
wineries
of them.
All over there.
Yeah.
There's one across the street from me.
Yeah.
Where they grow, it's a vineyard.
Oh, wow. Look at you. You live on a vineyard.
I live next door to a vineyard.
It's on a huge tract.
Wow.
Oh, zip it.
Huge tracts of land.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Where the serfs have to tend to it. In the back.
So, Paulie, thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks
welcome,
for having me.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Feel free to chime in wherever you want. But as we started off the show, OTAs are in progress, and I'll give a little hint. Maybe I shouldn't, but I will anyway. I did see Rob Gronkowski looking good. Not running around, but just walking around unaided.
Okay.
So he's here.
Wes Welker?
That's all I saw with my own eyes. You know? But
just to let everybody know, on Thursday, Andy and I will get a chance to go out and watch practice along with the rest of the media. So we'll do our best to keep everybody up to date as to who is here and what they're doing and what we can report based on what we see.
Right. And I heard that, of course, Mr. Tom Brady's here.
Mr. Tom Brady.
So in case Andy's, you know, wants to complain about him not taking part.
No, he never misses this
stuff.
So Dante Stallworth doesn't have a house to stay in anymore, Fred?
Right, I guess not.
He's got a charity event next week, Brady.
Gee, kicked him out.
So,
Tom, there's somebody in my bed.
So most of the gang is all here.
Man with dreads.
Where is she's with child again?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, I heard that was a rumor in Brazil,
which is why I said word is.
Yeah, we didn't report. Patriots.com is reporting.
Yeah,
it's rumor. It's fun, but most of the time those rumors end up being true. They come out. Her sister told somebody.
Well, but
told
this
somebody.
Isn't the first time she's been reported with a second baby, and the last time wasn't true.
But it'll be true.
Why do you say
I
have
don't...
faith in this one?
I don't recall.
So, something you want to tell us, Andy? Anything you know?
I'm the father, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't want to be the father.
No, thanks.
Now, does Bill do press conferences this week? Will he?
He will. I don't know if he's going to speak on Thursday.
We don't know.
I would doubt it.
I don't think he is. I was told that we will have some access to players.
On Thursday?
On Thursday.
Okay. But not tomorrow?
No.
Okay. But we will have first looks on Patriots.com
today. Yes.
So
very excited.
I'm interested. And I heard something interesting that I'm not allowed to divulge that we'll look at when we see the video.
So, yeah.
Something to look forward to. or not look forward to, depending on your perspective.
Right. Anyway, what else we got with news? Wes Welker has had a couple.
He's happy. He's not happy. He's taking a leap of faith. He's not taking a leap of faith.
Since the last time
wants $9.5 million. Doesn't want $9.5 million.
Since the last time we talked, Paul visited with Wes up in Peabody at Wes's football camp and had a little come to Jesus meeting with him and told him, "Look, Wes, you know you got $9.5 million in front of you. You might want to back off the." You know,
if they had that conversation, that would not be what Paul would be selling. You got to dig your heels in. You got to hold out.
No.
Go to D'Angelo's and buy a sub
and slam it down on the table in front of Bill.
Right. Make a point.
Fred obviously grossly exaggerates the come to Jesus meeting along with the rest of the media that was there. And we did get a chance to ask him some questions. I just came away thinking, Fred, that he's a little bit confused right now. He's not exactly sure what he should do. I think Andy makes a good point. He's had some issues with his representation over the past several years. He left the group that signed the deal that he originally inked when he came here, the five-year, $18 million deal that he signed here. He's no longer with that group. He's with David Dunn's group now. I'm not sure he knows exactly how he wants to go about his business. It looked like he wanted to get tough and serious, then didn't have the stomach for it. Sort of backtracked off of that, came back and said that, you know, really in no uncertain terms that he would sign the tender. The next day he signed it, did so under the guise of, you know, hopefully this will get the ball rolling. Then 2 days after that, he said, not only it hasn't gotten the ball rolling, it's gotten worse. Then on Saturday, he said, both with his leap of faith thing that he wrote with his tweet and by saying it got worse was probably a bad choice of words, both of them. Separately said probably a bad choice of words. So where are we left? We're left that he's probably going to play this season under the franchise tag. He says he's happy with that. He's happy to be a part of the team and looking forward to doing whatever he can to help the team win, saying all the right things. But I couldn't help but sense there's a great deal of frustration there and some confusion as to exactly what he should be doing.
Now, we were talking to somebody today who was speculating that, you know, maybe he's getting pressure from his agent and everything, but knowing the firm he's with, David Dunn's firm, they're experienced. I mean, these guys aren't new to this game. I mean, David
Dunn
was...
Yeah, but the pressure isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No. But
they're doing their job.
But what I'm saying is David Dunn was Bledsoe's agent. That's how far back he goes, and he came from Lee Steinberg's firm.
Yeah, and Matt Cassel's agent.
Right.
I mean, he's an experienced guy.
So you wonder if... You know, what is going on? And I think, Paul, you might be right. We don't know, but he might be confused.
I mean, that's the feeling I got from listening to him. The only question you were making fun of, the only question I asked him was just if he'd had any recent dealings, recent negotiating, and he said he didn't want to really get into that. He'd leave that between, you know, his representatives and the Patriots, which, you know, even that, to me, contradicted what he's been doing over the last week. Right. It looks like Andy has something.
Well, I just wanted to. Robert Kraft spoke about Wes Welker at the owners' meetings today to NFL Network.
Okay.
And one of the first excerpts from that to come across the Twittersphere is Robert saying, quote, "Well, we'd like to see him be a Patriot for life, but it takes two sides." That's the quote.
See,
from
now this
Robert
is where
Kraft.
We don't know what we don't know what the other side is saying.
What?
I'm glad to get Paul's reaction. You don't get to see the reactions on the radio.
We don't know
this is
what,
where Fred says stuff that I have to stay.
Well, no,
because
you have to Paul is always against team.
Yeah, I told you.
And Fred is always with team. You know, but, I'm objective.
But honestly, this is where we don't know what each side is saying. Okay,
the truth.
I'll be fair about it.
Right.
We don't know what the Patriots are offering for real. We heard stories, and we don't know what Welker's camp is asking. We don't know what that divide is. We don't.
You mean how much?
Yeah, what is the divide? How
far
apart
I have no
are
problem
they?
With what you just said. I don't know why you always paint me into these corners.
Right.
But I'm with you 100%
but
on what you just said.
So much of what you read is, the Patriots have this on the table, and Wes Welker thought it was an insult, and that's it. You know, we don't know. We don't really know what the Patriots have on the table. We don't know what Welker's camp is asking. You know, the Patriots could be absolutely reasonable. They could be unreasonable. It could be an insult. Welker could be asking for crazy money that no one in their right mind would sign, you know, let alone the Patriots. We just don't know, you know. And,
that's true.
And so what?
Which is why I believe neither. I don't believe the team side. I would assume that they are painting things to make them look good, and then I would assume Welker is painting things to put to his use.
See, that's where we sort of we do sort of separate from you is you always say, we don't know what Welker's asking for. And we always say, we don't know what the Patriots are offering.
Right.
And you paint that as that we're anti-team, but we're not. I'm anti-negotiator because I know that in all negotiations, everyone lies. Everyone does. They're all trying to get
stretches.
They're all
the
trying to get
to
the
fit.
Best deal for themselves.
Sure.
That's why Robert Kraft is such a great businessman. He didn't make a living making bad deals, you know, and not being a good negotiator. So that's why you always look at it and you sort of make fun of me and Andy for being pro player. I don't think I'm pro player all the time. There certainly have been times that I have been. But in this case, I think this is a very tricky situation. I sympathize.
In this case, Paul was pro player last October.
I sympathize with Wes Welker.
Right.
I sympathize with Welker's situation because of the productivity that he's had, but I can't get past the age and the situation that he's in now going forward. It's unfortunate, but you can't pay him for what he's done. You have to pay him for what you think he will do.
Right.
And in that regard, you're right. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know what the Patriots are offering, and I don't know what Wes is looking for exactly. But I would tend to lean toward the Patriots side here. I think they do have to dig their heels in and make sure they do not overpay for this guy.
At what point, if you were Wes Welker's agent, would you say, you know, you need to go public? And do you think that brief moment where he did go public was under the advice of his agent, or did he go rogue?
I don't know.
He doesn't seem like the kind of person that keeps his mouth shut. He seems to be open. He's an open-hearted person. He plays with passion. He talks about his situation with passion. And
yeah.
He seems like an emotional guy.
And
sorry,
I think I think all of it is true. Everything he has said, I think he feels. I think he really wants to be here, and he really loves it here. And he's fortunate to be making $9.5 million, but he also really wants a long-term contract and really thinks he deserves it and is really a little pissed off that he – all of it is true. None of it is lies.
Right.
But he's conflicted, and it's which is the best route to take. My guess is there was some advice that maybe we need to try to stoke the fire a little bit here publicly. But there's a difference between him doing that and Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins is a badass, and he has no fear. He has no commitment. I don't think he would have cried had he never played for this team again. I think Wes would cry if he never played for this team again, literally. I think it would be a blow to him. So you have to be able to stomach what goes into being the bad guy or being, you know, the manipulator in the media. And I don't think he has that. But I think everything he has said, I think he believes in his heart.
I tend to agree with that. But that just shows what Paul was saying, how confused he might be at this point.
Well, I think the problem is he's not going to get what he wants. And he probably on some level, way down deep, knows that. That there is no $50 million contract.
I would just love to know what he wants.
And Andy put up a blog post earlier this morning from Matt Light, talking yesterday, Matt making wasting no time sort of making that crossover into analyst.
Right.
And he was on all the ESPN shows yesterday, and they asked him point blank, you know, I guess they were playing a percentage game, percentage of the chances that Wes Welker will sign a long-term deal before July 16th, which would be the deadline for him to do so, and he said zero.
He started out at zero.
And then he said, well, maybe five. So, I mean, players know.
And
they know how things are done, especially a guy who's been around as long as Matt Light
has. And especially him. He talked about he had, you know, three different contracts with the Patriots. The last one, he tried to do himself. He wasn't going to have an agent, and he said it didn't work. You know, it just, he decided that that wasn't his specialty, and you can't do that.
He's going to use Teddy Bruschi as his agent.
Maybe. But I do think you need that buffer, because Welker's the perfect example. You don't want to be emotional. You don't want to. I mean, if they caught him on one day when he was like down, I just want to be here, he might sign something he would
regret
later.
It's very easy in these situations.
You know what? I've never even really thought about that, but that's a very good point. You know, because you catch a guy
the right time and you get his signature.
Who knows? Well, yeah, you know. I mean, I was thinking more in terms of you don't really want the guy in there listening to the team have to say, well, you know, Jason Taylor ran right around you, Matt.
Right.
You know, remember when we had to have Daniel Graham staple to your side? You know, you don't necessarily need the player to have to hear
it,
that.
It's ugly.
That
it
honest
does.
Value. You know, Wes, you know, really, I know you catch a lot of passes, but you're not exactly a big play guy.
And let's not talk about the Super Bowl. Well, that one would leave a mark.
That would be unfair. That would be the unfair
but that's
negotiating.
I have no problem with that. If you're trying to bully, I mean, it's a negotiation. We can be friends later. You know, Ty Law didn't, you know, hold any punches back. Logan Mankins didn't hold any punches back.
What's up,
if you're in a fight for a contract, you're in a fight for a contract. It's like my theory on war. There's collateral damage, but if I'm trying to get the end, Well, there's a means to that end.
Maybe that's how Andy hurt his pec. He was fighting for Wes Welker.
I put my pec.
If what is reported...
I told you, steroids.
If what is reported is still on the table, 4 years at 32, $12 million guaranteed, no? If there's anything like that on the table, if I was the Patriots, I'd up the guarantee to maybe, more like half of it.
Right. Rule of 50.
Yeah.
But now we get into guarantee, because a lot of these guarantees are really what's he getting the first 2 years,
strict guarantee. Strict guarantee.
So you would give him 4 years, $32 million, $16 million today when you sign it.
Right.
I think he might consider that. Because now he's going to get a salary, so it's really, you're virtually guaranteed another
probably
$2 million, $3 million.
Because if he's getting 16 to sign, he's probably going to get at least $1 million in salary for the first year.
So now it's a minimum of $17-18 million, and he's
probably thinks, to 9.5.
I'm going
to
catch 100 catches, so they're going to have to bring me back for another year. So now that salary is another $3 million. Now I'm up to $21 million over the first 2 years. I bet you he'd sign that.
Yeah, and I think to me as a Patriot. You know, if I'm in Patriots management, I'm okay with taking that risk.
But isn't there on some level, do you think there's a chance that anybody in this organization thinks like I do? We'll get him under the franchise tag, and then if he's gone next year, he's gone.
Yes.
Because
and
the
if
way
he's that
I look
good,
at
you
it,
could always franchise him again.
Everybody talks about the commitment to financial. Well, we got Gronkowski and Hernandez on the horizon. To me, it isn't financial. To me, it's we have Gronkowski and Hernandez is a slot receiver. And if I added Brandon Lloyd, I'm pretty comfortable with Gronkowski, Hernandez as my slot receiver, and Lloyd.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's just about money. I think
Andy
about
bringing
roles.
Up.
But that second franchise comes at over $11 million.
No, I know that. But I'm saying if he knocks it out of the park and it's just so good that you can't walk away from him, you always have that
catches.
To do again, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
you know, but I think Andy bringing up Brandon Lloyd's a good point, too, because this gives the team now a year to see how Brady and Lloyd sort of factor with one another. You know, can Lloyd do what he did in Denver here with the Patriots, with Josh? We think he can because he's been in that system with both Denver and St. Louis for a short time, and he was productive. Can he come here and all of a sudden, now you have a dynamic guy on the outside. Like Andy said, you have a guy in Hernandez who maybe isn't going to catch 125 passes out of the slot, but he's a pretty damn good slot receiver in Hernandez. And you have Gronkowski who's always going to be Gronk. Now you lessen that need. Now you don't necessarily want to do that $11+ million for the franchise, but you have a year to sort of make all those evaluations and see how it works out on the field.
Yeah.
You know, to steal Wes's thing, it's not a leap of faith that you're taking. You're actually seeing how it works out on the field, and then you can reevaluate and say, okay, I don't have to re-sign this guy for, longer than a year because I certainly have the weapons to be productive without him.
And Belichick has said, this is one of the few times where he's actually said something
that you can
figure out his philosophy. You know, he said, you try not to do things before you have to. You know, you let time, figure things out for you,
Right.
And I think this is one of those things where they might be looking at that and saying, we don't have to sign him right now.
Because Welker allowed them to not have to.
And it all comes down
to Andy's. He signed the tender, and he's going to play, so they don't have to do anything. He took away that, maybe we have to do something to get him here.
Right.
You don't have to do
that. Well, all these things are brinksmanship. It's all,
And he doesn't have the stones. I bet you he's a bad poker player. He just doesn't have the stones.
I think he might be just a little naive, and maybe he's just too honest.
Oh, he's definitely too honest. They've taken advantage of the fact that they know what he wants.
Unfortunately, in these deals...
Nice guys finish last.
Yeah, that's not an attribute, but he's too nice about the whole thing.
And he's not the one making the deal, is he? He's not sitting there going, it's all right, guys, talk to me. He's got an agent that takes care of that side of it.
He doesn't trust him because I don't think he trusts him from last previous
negotiations. Burned. Yeah, I think he got burned in the past,
and I think that's what last week he said, you're getting advice or you're hearing it from a lot of people. I think that's part of it because he's hearing it from himself. Mm. He's hearing it from an agent who's probably more hardline, big money, dig your heels in. He's probably hearing it from Brady, and then he's getting whatever he's getting from the team, and there's a lot going on there, and he doesn't know who to trust.
It seems like he likes the idea of $9.5 million for 1 year, though. It doesn't seem to bother him too much. It seems
for
like,
a guy who only made 18 total, that's a good chunk in one. But he also wants his long-term security, and the clock is, even though he's already old,
right,
the clock is ticking even more every minute towards you ain't getting long term from anybody at any time in any way.
Is Deion Branch older?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he's 33.
Yeah, I thought he was 34. But
okay, 34. I'll give it to you.
You might be right.
I don't know.
You mentioned Matt Light in passing. It's interesting how suddenly objective he's become just 1 week after retiring.
Right. I came in and told you this morning, I like when all these players who've been giving us the company line for a decade immediately go to the media, and with Light, it is immediate. A week after he had his press conference here at the Hall, he's criticizing the defense. All they need is playmakers on third down to get them off the field, saying, you know, there's 0% chance or 5% chance. He is, and he's good. I listened to both his Scott Van Pelt podcast, his Colin Cowherd podcast, some of the NFL Live. He was very good, seemingly very objective, and even on bigger issues, like they asked him about some of the, would he do it over again? How many concussions have you had? And by the way, he backed up my theory. You know what he said?
What?
Kimo von Olhoffen, quote, "I don't know what it is, but those guys from the islands can slap you around and it leaves a mark," or something to that. The guys from the islands, those Samoans and Tongans, are where it's at if you want physical football players.
Well, we got one.
I know. We need more. Yeah. But he said he wouldn't change anything. I don't want to.
Are you insane? Seriously.
Maybe.
Okay. Andy's going to draft the entire Hawaii football team.
He said, "I don't want to pretend that you go into this. You, as a player, you go in knowing what you're giving something up." And he says, quote, "I've given up long-term help, and I would do it again." And this isn't even a guy who loves football.
Right.
He's admitted the first Super Bowl he saw, he was in. The first NFL game he saw, he was in. He wasn't like this diehard dream to play in the NFL. And this is a guy that says, "I knew what I was doing, and I would do it again." That's how much he liked it. Now, sounds like he liked the pranks that he got to play in the locker room and all that. But that's part of it. That camaraderie, that team,
that's
whatever.
One of the things that they all say they miss the most.
But you know who wouldn't like to hear him say that? All these 1,800 players in the NFLPA and lawsuits and all that. Right. And he's an NFLPA guy.
Right.
So I think he is very objective about his team, about his players, about his health, about the league's future.
But I think he would admit, though, that if I was in a game and I got hit, I wouldn't want them to lie to me about my health.
Right.
And I think that's what
that's the difference, though. I don't think those 1,800 people are in that case. They're in that situation.
There are some
that certainly were mishandled. And I think those people have a beef. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of hangers-on right now that are trying to take advantage.
He alluded to that, and he said, "Our government believes in just giving people something that they don't need, something to that degree," which was a shot at Democrats, clearly. He said, "I don't really believe in that, and I don't feel like I think my organization always was on the something to that." He was clearly taking a shot at people that are in a money grab.
Right.
You know, that there are some people probably that were lied to, have problems, whatever, but there's not 1,800 of them, and the problem isn't as big as the lawsuits are going to make it out to be.
Where does he end up?
It sounds like ESPN.
You think so?
I mean, the way they were talking, like, you know, Van Pelt said, "You're doing a great job, and, you know, I don't know if you'll end up here or not," and sounds like there must have already been pretty significant conversations.
Well,
about
I'll bet
that.
You the NFL Network's after him. I don't know if they have the budget that the ESPN does, but, you know, there's another player coming on the horizon. Well, actually, there's a couple players. NBC Sports is trying to ramp up and trying to do more of this stuff.
Ooh,
and
they should hire
and
him.
From what I hear, Fox.
Jason Taylor already works for them. Have Taylor and Light.
Fox is going to try to get back into the whole regional.
Taylor be running circles.
Regional network
are.
Play.
Not just regional. I believe they are going to combine it to make a network. They want to have a network.
Good. So there's more opportunities for these guys than there was 2 weeks ago.
But the biggest, best opportunity is probably ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
They pay the most and have the most security.
They seem to have an endless money pit for these guys.
Unbelievable.
And places to put them.
Yep. Unbelievable.
You know, they just create a show.
Yep.
Put them on.
But he was very good. And I would urge anybody that hasn't listened, you can go on ESPN and listen to his podcasts. He made some offhand remark that I don't think I knew, that his father had polio.
I didn't know that.
And he said, coming from a father who didn't get the chance to play sports, you know, Matt played sports.
Yep.
I didn't know that. He also claims he has a hard drive with video footage of virtually every prank he's ever played.
Oh,
he
really?
He talked about that at his retirement press conference.
What, the video?
The hard drive that he said has like four terabytes worth of prank footage
claims
on it.
He's just going to sit everybody that's involved down in one room someday and just press play and see how it all. Because he said there are some pranks he had that lasted over 2 years, like the
really?
Putting them into effect. He's legit. yeah. in the prank circles.
Well, his
Did
dad...
you hear the Damian Woody one that he locked his gas cap and Damian Woody ran out of gas on the Mass Pike somewhere? And Woody said he didn't retaliate because he was afraid what Matt Light would do to take it to the next level if he did.
He locked his gas cap?
I don't know
how do you do that?
I have a picture of when they took... I forget whose car. They took, while he was at practice, Light and I think maybe Castle's car. They took Castle's car, put it up on blocks, and took his tires.
Yep.
And when Castle got back from practice, his tires were piled up at his locker.
Yeah.
And his car was out in the parking lot on blocks. So
that's fantastic. Pretty, do you guys do that to each other? Do you guys do little pranks to each other?
No. But they filled, was it Light's car? They filled Light's car up with that popcorn stuff that you put in.
They did that to me in high school.
Yeah.
A bitch to get out.
Andy was not happy.
No. You, that stays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first you drive down the road, and stuff is just going down the and then I went to one of those places, like, with the vacuums, and I broke, like, four of them trying to vacuum it all out because they would just get jammed up. And then even months later, like, you turn the AC on, and one would just fly out of somewhere or something. I mean, that's a pain in the ass.
Right. So there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. Zolak was another big prankster. He was
I'd good. Pay to see the video, though, that Light has.
That would be pretty cool to watch.
Now, but you mentioned Matt Light's dad. I had some communication with his dad. He's like one of those Renaissance guys. He's a musician. He's an engineer. He's a scientist. He was a writer.
He's like Eric.
Yeah, well.
No.
No,
he's like what Eric wants to be.
Oh.
Right. He aspires to be.
Oh. Right. No, but he's legit. He's one of those guys that no matter what it is, he can.
And
do
Light
it.
Is that. If you've ever, when I was in PR, I remember sitting in on a couple of the production meetings with him, and he just has stuff in his head, you know, because he went to Purdue. He has, you know, the engineering background, and, you know, all of a sudden he's just talking. The example I give is polymers. You know, the polymers that they're creating these.
Right.
What? Let's just talk about Jason Taylor for a minute.
Right.
He's one of those guys that can talk about a lot of stuff. So he would be good, I think, in a, I guess First Take is kind of, in a show that would not only just be football, or maybe a morning radio show where he could talk politics, football, you know, current events.
Yeah.
That's where I think he would be best put to use because he's an intelligent guy and an interesting guy. And he always has that smirk and he had it throughout. Is he telling the truth right now? Am I in on a gag right now, or is this a legitimate answer? And you never really know with him. But he's as smart and as talented as they
are. Yeah, come. The one time that I ever talked to him and I didn't have that feeling, because every time I talked to him, I always in the back of my mind was wondering, is he making fun of me right now? Or is he making fun of something?
Right.
And
are
not
you part
being
of
serious?
A gag?
The one time I ever thought he was serious, I asked him some questions about Nate Solder last year when I wrote a story about Nate. And he was just over the top with his praise and how athletic he was. And I never had that, you know, feeling in the back of my mind that he's just, you know, I'm ready for the punchline. It's coming. That was the only time I ever thought he was being serious with me. And that's, what, 11 years?
Good talk. A good chat. What did he say?
Yeah, good talk.
Good talk at the end of every little gathering.
Remember when he came back, was it 2 years ago or this year? Did he come back this year? No, it was this year. And training camp when because he was a free agent. He ended up coming back, and he had a knee procedure or something, so he was a little bit slow starting. And he talked about his meditation and stuff. And, you know, I know that if Eric were here, he would rattle off the name of the master.
Fargua.
Nah, it wasn't that.
I wish Eric could go Fargua himself.
Maharogi or whatever. What's the
Mitsubishi?
Shiitake.
Yeah, there you go. But he's just like Andy said. He can talk about anything. And at least fake his way through it if he's not really knowing what he's talking
about.
That's
all you do on morning shows. You don't really delve deep into it. You just dabble.
I remember one time Andy called him fat. He got pretty serious after that. Andy said he was getting a pot belly, and he just walked away from everyone.
No, he was joking.
Really?
Yeah.
As far as you know.
It turns out he had to work hard to keep the weight on.
Yeah, and that's already shown up. I told you. He's
already markedly thinner than
270.
He was.
He's about to pass Paul on the scales.
Oh, shut up.
Chris with a TIN writes in, funny how when the Patriots traded and signed for Welker, most thought, myself included, $18 million.
Yep.
Then he went on
to
become,
put me in that camp.
Then
me
he went
too.
On to become one of the most productive wide receivers in the game. I know the team places value on all positions, and that's what they go with. They have a number, and they stick to it. I believe Welker's injury in 09 certainly impacted him on his deal, and his age isn't helping him either. I believe this deal would have gotten done earlier, a la Mayo, had he not been injured. Do you agree or disagree? And any
something would have happened earlier.
I agree.
Yeah. And any word from Eric? Percentage he got laid?
Zero.
I'm going with 0.0, Mr. Blatarski.
I agree.
All right. So you think that if he hadn't gotten hurt, they would have done something earlier?
Well, that would have been the time to hold out, as I've said, and I think something would have come to pass.
But I think Andy wrote something about it recently, well, within the last year anyway. I shouldn't say recently, but, yeah, I'm with you. I think that was the time that he had some leverage there. He was productive and would have been 2 years left on his deal. He could have sort of been making inroads there to get something done. And
that damn Reliance Stadium moist turf took all hope away. You know,
and
that just comes out in trays.
And just
it does.
And it goes in. So, never
but
mind.
If it goes in moist, it stays moist.
Right. Just think about how close he came to not even playing in that game, too. Yep. You know, Bill obviously thought long and hard about not playing him.
Typical Belichick, it makes out for him in the end. Welker gets hurt, but it helps him long-term with the contract situation.
Could you spin it, though, that, you know, him coming back from that injury so effectively just shows his desire and that adds to his side of the argument that, you know.
You could spin that.
Yeah.
The Patriots say you're 31.
Right.
That's all they say. And we already got that out of you. Have I said, I'm not a big believer in positive reinforcement, but Mr. Michael Haku is behind the glass today.
God bless you.
Does a fine job on our blog.
Right.
Putting, you know, graphics, pictures, audio. You know, I don't praise Chris. I don't praise Collins. But Mike Haku does a fine job, Fred.
Haku's your
See
man.
What you can do, get okay. him a raise or a T-shirt or something.
Well, he was part-time.
Get him a pen.
He was part-time, now he's full-time.
Yeah, and he praised me for never treating him like he was part-time. That's because I didn't know he was part-time. I thought he was full-time the whole time.
No, he earned his...
I'm not like Paul, I don't make him go get his lunch every
day. He earned a spot.
Make him go get his lunch or buy him lunch. There's two different things there. So. Right, Mike?
He does a fine job. Mike Haku, he's going places.
Now, Chris Ferrero, you tell you that he taught him everything he knows.
Chris Ferrero's a moron.
Oh, now, come on.
Chris Ferrero, also one of the most wanted men in Fall River. I heard it on the news.
Is that right? They're after him?
Ferrero, 33, was found with a crack pipe and something else.
Okay. Millie in Montreal says, I've been using the iPhone and Instacast for the app to download. For the last week or so, it won't download, saying that the format is all wrong for the iPhone.
I don't
Please
think that was
it.
Meant to be read on
Speaking
air.
Of Chris Ferrero.
I forwarded that
What
to
is
Ferreira.
Instacast? Does anyone know what Instacast is? No?
My you suggestion the executive would be, director of new media?
My suggestion would be don't use Instacast.
What is it?
It's a download service.
Is it like Skype?
You use it to download all your podcasts if you're a big podcast.
Why don't
listener.
You use iTunes?
Exactly. You know?
I mean, I'm not a
Andy,
big fan
Skip
of
Bayless
like,
and Stephen A. Smith are having a Paul and Andy debate Friday. I'm just sitting there letting you yell.
And I'm winning.
Brian, yeah, you're Skip Bayless. You're winning.
Brian in New
Does
Mexico wants to know, is there...
He's got hot chocolate out there.
Oh, by the way...
He's mocking him.
Before I got here...
Is that PFW
I went,
TV?
I went through the KSP studios, and there was this little kid named Zach. And apparently this kid... is like the biggest, littlest Patriots fan. You can ask him any number, and he knows, you know, he was on YouTube. He knows the player's name on the Patriots. He's really amazing. We quizzed him while he was sitting there.
And, yeah, but you didn't know the answers.
And he was right. No, he knew more than I did. And I guess he'll be on later on Patriots. They're filming something with him.
Where's he from?
I don't know.
They just found him on YouTube?
He's on YouTube, yeah.
He's a YouTube sensation.
Yeah.
Okay. It's gone viral.
I also like on YouTube, I retweeted it the other day. Have you seen the My Number's 12, So Call Me Brady?
Yeah, I did see that.
It's pretty good.
But I guess everybody's doing parodies of this song. It's a real song.
It's very catchy.
Oh, it's,
you know, Matt
it's
in Brooklyn
pop,
would tell me
song.
I'm an
yeah.
idiot for liking
song.
It.
I guess a lot of like college teams have done, like the Harvard baseball team was the first thing that I saw.
Yeah,
and
yeah
it's they got had like 10 million views.
They're in the van like driving home from a game or whatever, and they lip sync it, and then the whole team does like a dance to it. And I guess the SMU women's rowing team saw that and, like, did it back, only with their feet instead of their hands. I don't know. These crazy college kids, Freddie, I don't know what you guys do on the internets nowadays.
It's a good song, though. Have you heard it?
I heard that
the internet's
the Brady one. That's all I know.
No, I mean the original song.
No.
Not a surprise. Fred heard of the Brady one.
I never heard the song before. I didn't know it was
very good. It's like a top 40 song. Okay. You know, it's Andy and I's music.
All right, good. I like that
Speaking
song.
Speaking of which, Fred, I lost
Florida.
Another one. Did you see?
That song by Florida.
Who'd you lose this
Fred,
time?
Fred, I lost another one.
More disco?
Robin Gibb.
Oh, yeah, Robin Gibb.
You're dropping like flies on me, Fred.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's my wife
still
yells
not
out.
Over Donna Summer.
My wife yells out from the bathroom, Robin Gibb died. And I go, what? Robin Quivers died? And she's like, no, Robin Gibb. I'm like, Robin Gibbons? Gibbons. Like, no, Robin Gibb. And then I'm like, oh, okay, because I kind of expected another BG to die. So it was like, it wasn't a big deal.
What does that mean?
They're all dying. They're worse than the Kennedys.
He was in a coma. He came out of a coma.
All right. Well, we kind of expected it.
Paul, you see what I do? The classless nature.
It's fantastic. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Robin Quivers, I would have been, you know, really surprised about.
I would have been sad. That would have been terrible.
Right. I like Robin,
but Robin. Hold on. Who cares?
Clearly, the weak link
like,
on that
oh,
show.
Oh, Robin Gibb
on the short list.
All right. Let's see. The Fox in New Mexico says, any chance Woodhead doesn't make the team? I know he's a young man, but I think he's already become a bit of an old back. I wonder if being such a workhorse in college has put a premature end to his productivity. I felt Woody was a liability on the field most of last year. To boot, he seemed to play a ton of snaps. I don't foresee his snap count changing, and I would much rather see Vereen, Adai, or Ridley out there. Of course, the snaps Danny saw tells me that Bill must really love him, and I have him penciled in as a sure thing. But I figure if anyone can find an argument that he might not make the roster, it would be you guys. You're right about that.
Well, he has been my surprise cut. I think he's going to make the team, but I think he could be cut. Him and Branch, I think, are the name surprise cuts that would catch people off guard.
Bigger surprise.
Bigger surprise?
Out of those two.
Branch.
Really?
Yeah.
Bigger surprise to not make the team would be Branch for you?
Yeah.
I would go Woodhead. I think I would be... I agree with your characterization of both, but if I would go Woodhead would be a bigger surprise to me to not make it out of those two.
Yeah, based on today's roster, I agree with Paul.
Yeah. I just think Woodhead had a bad year.
He did not have a bad year.
He's a human touchback on kick returns. He tried to diversify his role.
Well, he was not anywhere near as productive as he was the year before.
No, that's true.
And I think he's trending. I think the email is right.
And there's
young
guys
down.
Nipping at the roster spots, nipping at his heels. You don't really have that at receiver. Branch had a pretty good year. Everybody doesn't want to admit it, but 50 catches is a pretty good year as a complementary aspect on this offense. The Brady trust factor, I would be surprised if Branch got cut. I'd be less surprised if Woodhead did.
Yeah, I would be surprised with both. I think your characterization of both is very accurate. But
is the rocket taking off again?
I think I would be more surprised if Woodhead didn't make
it. Yeah, we've got, people hear this, we have the air conditioner kicks on. And we had a problem last week. There was no air conditioning, and then they got it fixed like an hour before or bypassed something.
We need
I don't know if it's actually fixed. I think they're bypassing from somewhere else, and it sounds like a hurricane
so
when it kicks on.
Somebody else is sweating their ass off instead of us.
Right.
That's what I love, though. We have, like, all these fancy pad blocks things on the wall, so it sounds perfect. And then we have this air con...
Right.
So...
Can I ask you a Woodhead
question?
That's
how they do radio shows nowadays.
You can ask anything you want.
What didn't Woodhead get hurt at the beginning of last year? Didn't he get a big smack right in the head and get, like, almost knocked out?
He missed some time. Yeah.
Last year that happened?
I feel like that was because he had just had a child in the off just at the end of the off season, right? Just at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And that big hit, I wonder if it rang his bell a little bit because he never seemed like the same guy when he came back. He still was a great player. I really like him. But he just seemed a little different to me, like his focus.
He certainly seemed different last year.
I think people just figured him out.
I think so, too.
That's how I always looked at it.
I never thought he was that big of an impact player. It was just that no one had ever seen him play before, and the Patriots used him in an effective way.
I think he was a bit of a novelty his first year here. Hmm. The Patriots certainly, as Belichick has done with many, many guys, maximized his production, and then people said, okay, when they put him in, we have to take him seriously. They could give him the ball. Yeah. And I think that as that year went on, I thought his productivity sort of declined. And I thought last year he wasn't anywhere near as explosive with the ball as he had been the previous year.
Hmm. Last show we were talking about heirlooms, and I asked,
I don't know where that came from at all.
I was talking about the gold that I sold.
No, right. But why do we need to just ask?
You have any heirlooms? A couple people have emailed in. Bill Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, calls in. He said, when my father's liver quit, he left me a half-empty fifth of Jack Daniels. Thanks for bringing up that memory. And Mark writes in, I wanted to chime in from last week about family heirlooms. I have a World War II dagger in naval uniform from my grandfather, as well as a training manual. On to my question, since it is the offseason, can you please explain the functions of the director of player personnel and director of pro personnel? What are their roles on a team and their general tasks throughout a season?
Player personnel oversees the scouting of all players, college and pro. If you're a player, he is overseeing the regional scouts in college, your staff of pro scouts that are out every week going to NFL games.
Would it also include the scouting of free agents?
Yes.
Okay.
All players.
All players.
Well, that's why pro scouting is, part of it is for game playing, but part of it is so you have a file on every single player in the NFL, so that when that guy's a free agent, when he's waived, when he's on the trade block, you immediately have reports from your scouts on that player. So that's over the, what was the other question?
pro players.
Pro is just part of the pro player personnel process, whereas right. the player personnel is everything.
Everything.
So the pro player is under the player.
He answers to the
player.
I mean,
there is a little bit, I think, of repetition in that. Andy's described it the way I always understood it, but, I mean, you have a guy in charge of college scouting and a guy in charge of pro scouting and then a guy sort of in charge of everything. I think
and then a guy above him named a GM
and
who's in charge of everything.
And I'll bet a lot of teams do it differently.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But so I think there is some repetition
that's
there.
That's the duty, the breakdown. Pro just sticks with, like, Andre Tippett was a scout. I don't know if he was the pro personnel director, but he was in the pro personnel department. So he wasn't scouting Iowa and Miami. He was scouting the Dolphins against the Rams 1 week and what in compiling files on those teams and those players.
And when you hear us talk about, well, they're updating their lists and they're doing their due diligence on various players, that's what, you know, when they have guys in for tryouts, they're coming in on the recommendation of the pro personnel department. That's how they, you know, they go about, okay, we might need X, Y, and Z down the road. Who are our guys that are at the top of our list of players that are available? And they might have them in throughout the course of the, especially early in the season, but really with the Patriots, you see it throughout the season.
Every week, almost.
Speaking of that, Dallas Clark was in, but he's now with the Buccaneers.
Looks like he went to Tampa, yeah.
Who
and
got
Tampa signed Kellen Winslow. I mean, traded Kellen Winslow.
Brian, we have an unverified report from Mally in Nebraska who says, I helped Mrs. Woodhead at the DMV here in Nebraska. I asked her about his season's slow production, and she said he was dealing with a groin and ankle all year.
He did. He was out for a couple weeks with an ankle. I know.
Yeah,
that.
We knew he had the ankle.
It was very nice of you to ask his wife about, you know, his down year.
Big fan. Why'd he suck?
That's an Andy Hart question if I've ever heard.
Yes.
One.
Yeah.
And I don't care for that. What does that mean?
Oh, come on. Tell me you wouldn't say that to Mrs. Woodhead.
What happened to the call screener today, maybe. Freddie?
Something was
not working.
I just wouldn't connect.
Okay. Oh, so there's a green light flashing
too.
In there.
So,
yeah.
Wait, but doesn't that mean we have a call?
Our guest, Paulie, is no exception to listener-on-listener crime.
Uh-oh.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Paul from L.A., I've never seen anyone so hesitant and secretive when asked about their hometown. It was like Fred was pulling teeth. On his third try, he finally got you to commit. Yeah, but then you named three different places in Connecticut. So which is it, home slice? Bridgeport,
wow.
Trumbull, or Fairfield? Enough with the wishy-washy flip-flopping. I'm originally from posh Fairfield. Hence the intellect I used to torment Andy. Anyway, hail.
That's intellect?
Hail fellow and well met, whether you hearken from corrupt Bridgeport, rough Trumbull, or swanky Fairfield, tally freaking ho.
Yes.
Brooklyn Matt.
Yeah, Brooklyn Matt. Is
a douche.
He's a douche.
As you just found out.
Oh, I've been a listener for a long time, gentlemen.
So you've always
known
he was a douche.
I'm not joking. I was born in Bridgeport. We moved to Trumbull. Then we moved to Fairfield. Then we moved to Weston. Then we moved back to Fairfield. So we just moved around a lot. My dad was one of those guys who bought a house.
The mob.
Yeah, like the mob. We're very similar to the mob in a lot of
ways. You're on the run. You're on the line.
No one knows I'm here. I'm under an assumed name presently.
What do you do now? Did you say that already?
Right now? What do you mean? Like
makes wine.
Yeah, I mean, no.
What?
What do you mean right
I
now?
Make wine.
Why? He's shifty again.
Massages
shifty.
The grapes.
Yeah, what do you mean by right now?
What do you
mean?
You
got a little Eric
what do I
in
do?
You.
Who's asking?
You are a Scalavino cousin.
Who's asking?
I'll be honest. That nude woman. John, I thought you meant a different one.
I actually make my living as an actor. That's how I live. I live in Los Angeles, and I make my living as an
I
actor.
I thought I knew you. You were in Law and Order, right?
I was not in Law and Order.
Oh, okay.
So you're a waiter.
I am not a waiter. My day job, if you will.
Have you had any roles?
I
grew up in Fairfield. You don't have to be a waiter.
No, where have you acted?
I've been in a couple of films. I was in a movie called Stark Raving Mad. I was in an independent film called Happy Holidays. I've been on quite a few TV shows. I make
like what?
Most of,
list some TV shows.
You're putting me on the spot, so I can't really think of my resume right now. It's not something you just rattle off, I guess. I make most of my money doing commercials. I've been on commercials for Windows phones. I had a Prilosec commercial that was running for a very long time.
I'm on fire. You looked familiar. I swear to God.
I had a Pizza Hut spot where I'm in it with a very talented woman named Andy Serdik, who's incredibly funny and talented, and we did this Pizza Hut spot together. I have a toaster strudel spot where I'm playing a dad. That's some good stuff.
Are there any right now that I can? So if I
everything's I haven't seen anything popped up lately. They
do you have anything on your phone that you can show us later?
Yeah, sure. That's okay. Easy.
My wife was in a Stop and Shop commercial.
Was she really? Yeah, I love it.
That's true.
You were in it.
I was in it briefly, yeah. And then they.
But it was really starring.
They ran Nikki. It again, and they cut me out.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Nikki was
yeah,
the star.
They yeah. do that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just kind of how I do it. I've been working in casting. You know,
that's good money.
My day job.
Commercials?
I was on a Chronicle commercial. Oh, yeah, that's where the money is.
It's now, do you get paid once or do you get paid in perpetuity?
You get paid based on the run. So every 13 weeks, you accumulate a certain amount of quote-unquote points or where it airs and who's watching it and so on. My Pizza Hut spot was at the beginning of the Super Bowl this year. It was right before the Super Bowl started. My Facebook page lit up, and I was like, yeah, here we go. This is exciting.
Right.
So you don't get in touch with Michelle Stockholm. Hmm.
Yeah,
we should get this guy in touch with.
Yeah, you
want to
go
Stockholm.
Do some TV in Sweden?
Sure,
we have a casting director in Sweden.
Yes, that's right. I heard her
and
she does reality TV though. I despise.
I think
reality
she does
TV.
Some other stuff though.
Reality too. TV in Sweden.
Yeah,
and we have John Cockerell, who was one of the writers for In Plain Sight.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I've listened to him quite a time. He sent you McCormick's picture. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are hooked up, man. You guys are really popular.
And didn't we have another actor, Swig? Wasn't he an actor?
Well, he does the impersonation of Christopher Walken. Does that qualify him?
I thought he was
guys.
No, he was in Italy because he's a photographer. I think of models or something.
Okay,
I could have used a little more cowbell. I gotta have more
cowbell.
So wait, like right now, do you know what you're doing next week? Like, do you have gigs lined up? How does your life?
How does my life look?
Work.
Basically, I now I make a lot of money. I make my money.
Oh, you make a lot of money.
No, I make
good to
my
know.
Money.
We'll keep you in the lunch rotation.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
A little slip of the tongue.
I teach a lot at night. I teach for a company called TalentToGo.net, and we do. I teach commercial acting
Sounds
classes.
Sounds like a prostitution.
It is. It's very prostitutional.
It's a fine line in that business.
Very, right. Yes, it is. It's very close.
Escort.
I teach.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see
selling
it or hear
Pizza
it.
Pizza Hut, selling myself.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, have you heard the commercials for Ashley Madison? Do you know what I'm talking about? Ashley Madison.
That's a high end. Affair.
Yeah. It's for people who want to have affairs, and they're right out, and they have this song now, and the guy's singing, "I'm on the road, and I need to have an affair for my sanity and for my family." It's like. Are you kidding me?
Isn't that dangerous?
That's fantastic. It's unbelievable.
Couldn't they be, like, legally...
I think it's nothing less than prostitution. I really
no,
do.
No, but even beyond that, I mean...
I thought prostitution
a marriage...
is soliciting. They're not soliciting. They're saying...
But they're putting people together to break a legal
they're both whores.
Contract in some level, and they could potentially be the reason that some wife shoots somebody. I just think there could be some legal issues down the road.
It's unbelievable.
Liable for scandals.
No, it's two consenting adults meeting online to do a specific thing. They're paying for the legal conversation.
I know, but they're facilitating adultery.
But she's not paying her for sex.
No, they're paying.
Oh, you pay.
Yeah,
no
you
matter
pay.
What you pay.
Absolutely.
You pay whether it's dinner, a movie, or the rest of your life. You pay.
Right.
You pay like crazy.
But the
look at Andy. Look
like,
at how much he's paid.
It's like, I'm on the road, working for my family, but I need a little something for my sanity. It's unbelievable.
Kevin, did you get
Save that?
That
one.
Please tell me you got that.
Kevin's gone.
Oh, good. That means lunch is here.
Ron writes in.
Could you just move on after
we
that?
We do, but that's what we do on this show.
I look for the lulls, and then I go on. Ron writes in. He says, do you think Tim Tebow going to the Jets influenced the Hightower selection? The answer is no. I mean, right?
Yeah, I say no.
Yeah, there's no way they look. Oh, the Jets got Tebow.
Tim,
we need, we need Tebow's Dante Jets? Hightower.
I didn't really even understand the connection, but I have to agree with Fred.
Wow. I think last year's defense influenced the selection of Dante Hightower.
Yeah, last year's defense, which Light said had Wilfork, Mayo, Chung, and nobody else.
Tim McCourty might be a little upset about that.
Spikes. He was part of the problem last year, not the solution.
Well,
I don't think there's anybody I'm rooting more for.
Spikes, I think, at times was part of the solution. I never saw once that Devin McCourty was part of the solution for a good deal. Well, Andre Carter was an oversight.
These guys aren't going to be happy with that comment.
Most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes in. This is to Paul. He says, Uh-oh. Get a real job, you layabout.
Do you know anyone in security that might give me a job?
He does. Yeah, you could bring his security company to L.A.
Done. I will be the face of his security. Yeah. I have a very good friend of mine who's a huge Patriot fan as well and a big Boston Red Sox fan. Mike Wachtel owns a security company in Los Angeles. And,
Wachtel Security.
Yeah. Wachtel Security. Yeah, yeah. You know them.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny. I think Pettigrew is an interesting listener. It's fun to listen to him call in.
He is very interesting. Shady a little bit, I think, but interesting.
Yeah, he's the best listener we've ever had. Don't listen to anything he says.
He's seen and perhaps done things that we don't want to talk about.
Yes. Not mentioned in this.
Right. Private security in Iraq. I need to say no more between Shady.
All right. I guess I'm being told to take a break right now. It's 1 o'clock. I'm wondering why I haven't been fed yet, but that might be answered right now. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships return to Gillette Stadium this Memorial Day weekend. May 26th through the 28th, don't miss your chance to see the nation's best lacrosse at New England's premier sports venue. Tickets for all 3 days start at just $75 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For group rates and other special incentives, please call 508-549-0178 for more information. 3 days, 3 championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello!
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity. Like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks,
it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Having fun in the break talking with Paulie about his commercials and all that stuff and how he became. Paulie, in LA, well, you know, I know they don't have a team yet and they want to get a team, but if they had to have a breakdown, which team do you think most LA people are fans of? You know, is it split evenly or is there a team that, you know.
It's all over the place. Yeah. It's such an eclectic city. There's so many different people from so many different places. I would say that it's really, and I get a kick out of the fact that you're driving in LA, you'll see a lot of Patriots fans. You know, you'll see this, you know,
right,
decals and stuff and license plates and so on and so forth. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I would say there's a lot of San Francisco. I would say that's fair. A lot of people really like the San Francisco
Raiders,
49ers.
Probably.
A lot of Raiders fans. But, yep. Like, that seems to, do you ever see that documentary on the Raiders about the, you know, the connection to gangs and stuff?
Yeah, it was
like
just
that.
On again last night, I think.
Yeah, that's an interesting piece, but I think there's a lot of that. It just kind of like seeps into the into the culture.
Now, I know the league is saying that there's this big clamor for a team in LA, but is that prevalent among the population? Are the fan? Are sports fans clamoring for an NFL team?
I think as a person who lives in Los Angeles, we'll take any team we can get. I mean, the Dodgers have been a blast.
So they really want one.
I would say yes. I'd say I think everybody would want one. I think that the good question about Los Angeles is, where do you put one? Because traffic is already horrible, and you do something like that where it's going to make it even harder. People are going to get stressed out about it, angry about it. They say like Century City is a place. I think I'm not positive.
Yeah.
And then and Culver, I'm not exactly sure, but like
Culver
there's a couple
City.
Culver City. There's a couple places where they want to put one in, but
you know. Is traffic really bad on a Sunday too
in
LA?
Let me put it this way: you guys have two lanes here filled with traffic. We have six lanes filled with traffic all the time.
Really,
all the time.
Even on the weekend,
you might get lucky sometimes. You get on the 405, you're like, oh yeah, we're moving pretty good. We're doing 45. You know, other times you're doing, it's all over the place, to be honest with you. There's a lot of construction going on right now. They're widening the 405 to add another lane to it. It's pretty hairy when it wants to be.
And they don't have public transportation.
They
right?
do. They have buses.
They
buses and trains, but they're awful.
Really?
You know, they service people who need them, thank goodness, you know.
What?
Service?
You said service. So, you know.
Sorry.
You're talking about prostitutes or trains.
The four-year-old had a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people. Also, we lost the L.A. Rams. They just up and left. They just were gone one day.
Right.
And the stadium, I think they played in USC Stadium, which is pretty cool.
Right.
Coliseum. Thank you.
Could you pour me some soda when you get a chance?
Quick programming note. I just saw a commercial on NFL Network. Matt Light will be live in studio on Total Access tonight. So apparently he is just because that's. Now he's in L.A., right? That's in L.A.?
Right, NFL Network's in L.A.
So he went from Connecticut to L.A., so maybe he is kind of shopping himself free agent-wise here.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Your mic's not on.
all right.
Still not on.
Mikey
Haku going to step in and get it done. I'm telling you, this guy's going places. He knows
Thank
what
you,
he's
Mike.
Doing.
Mike, can we get Matt Light on Patriots.com
can
radio?
Can we get rid of Kevin Collins?
We would
Collins.
Love to have Matt Light on Patriots.com
Not in the budget.
Radio.
He's going to make good money for good reason.
Mike Vandalism from East Haven, Connecticut writes in. Don't know what the situation is in East Haven. I don't know if it's upscale, downscale, middle. I'm not sure.
Just a nice place. Can't we just make it a nice place?
Why does he have to judge it? Money
it can't just be
what kind of cars in the driveway.
Good person, you know?
Kind of you people are topic. All the same. You guys that drive Cadillacs are all the same. It's about what kind of car you drive, where you live, what kind of pool you have.
Oh, yeah, okay.
unlike you, Andy, how hot is she? How big are her breasts? Where does she come from? Will she talk to me?
That's natural.
Yes,
that
true.
Is human nature. I'd like
the will she talk to me? Never in there though.
Doesn't? Yeah, it's more in, forcing her. I had a and
I don't force anything.
It's more like once she talks to me, will she ever talk to me again?
Will she press charges?
Right. Anyway,
but that's human nature. That started as soon as there was man. There was how hot is she? That's the way species work. Not about Cadillacs.
Actually, technically, science has proven that it's less about how hot they are and how wide their hips are.
Well, whatever. In my brain, it's how hot.
Right. That's what you're attracted to.
Right.
Right.
That's human nature, not Cadillacs.
That just shows
how
you why scientists are nerds, because I ain't looking at her hips.
It is. It's the same as money. What are you talking about? It's
Some
the same
people
thing.
Like, no.
Yes.
No.
Girls are attracted to men who have money because they can provide. They can take care of them. They don't. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's but true. He does it to other men.
Well, look at him. I mean, you know, he'll take the affection
men.
Where he can get it.
I provide for you guys.
Yeah, really.
That is true. You do provide for us.
Let's see. Mikey Vandalism says, what's up, guys? I know the offseason is slow and you guys like games, so I figured I would make one up for you and would be interested to see what your answers are. Let's get started with the game premium pickup. Over the course of the season, who has more TDs, Gronkowski or Hernandez?
Gronk.
Gronk.
Everybody says Gronk.
Gronk.
Gronk. More sacks, Jones or Hightower?
Beckett.
That wasn't the question.
Hightower. Jones.
I say Jones.
Hightower.
More interceptions, McCourty or Razai Dowling?
McCourty.
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 More receptions, Welker or Lloyd?
Welker.
Welker. Welker.
More likely to make the team, Ocho or Stallworth?
Ocho.
Ocho.
Stallworth.
Ocho.
I'm thinking Ocho, too. More likely to finish the season as starting running back, Vereen or Ridley?
Ridley.
Ridley. More impact plays, Spikes or Mayo?
Spikes.
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 I'm going to say Mayo.
Spikes.
How are you going to say Mayo?
He had impact plays last year.
You think
he came into the studio.
You think Brandon Spikes is the greatest impact player that's ever lived.
I didn't say that Spikes wouldn't have impact plays. I just think Mayo will have more.
But he rarely has any, so you're putting the number low if you
all
say
this,
Mayo's
going to be. Flux of talent's going to free him up to
Who do you think had more
play.
Last year?
Between Spikes and Mayo?
I'm sorry, is that those are the two
yeah,
choices,
have to be
right?
He's
Mayo,
thinking. When Mayo, he does that, he's trying to formulate a
Mayo
response.
Mayo is the answer.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Spikes had more.
No, he
I
didn't.
Thought Spikes had more, and he hates Spikes more than anyone.
He did not.
In terms of impact play, I mean,
wait,
said
time
it was
out,
a low
time
number,
out,
but.
Time out. Are we going to cut Brandon Spikes, or is he on the way out? Because you've changed your tune big time on Brandon Spikes.
No.
Big time. Big time.
What are you talking about?
Last year, you were the leader of the Brandon Spikes fan club. Every game he
I
played
still am.
Was the best. But you just said that Mayo had more impact plays.
He did. He played more. He had more impact plays.
He played more. I'll give you he played
he
more.
He had more chances.
He had more chances. I'll agree with you on that, too.
And the
only thing he didn't have was more impact plays.
And I think the constitution of the team this year will allow him to have even more. That's not to say Brandon Spikes isn't going to have impact plays or that I'm not a fan of Brandon Spikes. This is
you
what
jump
you do.
Ship on Brandon
this
Spikes.
This is what you do.
So that leads me to believe we drafted Hightower and you're bad-mouthing Spikes.
I've jumped
Spikes
ship.
Is soon to be
I've
off this
ship
team.
On Brandon Spikes.
Spikes is soon
because,
to be off this team because you have
because
cut
I'm,
ties.
Because I'm praising Jerod Mayo, I've jumped ship on
no,
Brandon Spikes.
No, you totally
Spikes.
Changed your
that's,
opinion on
that's
how plays unfolded. Last year.
Asinine.
I don't know how you can look back now and change
You're
how
an
you
ass.
Felt about plays.
You're an ass.
It's black and white with Andy.
Oh, I of course
there's
it
no
is.
Gray area.
Right.
You can't kind of have an opinion the next, you know, it's always
no,
black
Oh, yeah, you
and
can.
White.
You just can't change it overnight like Fred does.
Black and white.
Right.
Well, who had the most tackles? Is it Mayo? Who had the most tackles?
Mayo.
Mayo.
But impact plays, Spikes right. had more. And Fred,
no, he didn't.
If you remember...
Fred no,
was big on the Spikes bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In that, what was it, Giants, Dallas, in that area.
I still am.
And now you're saying he didn't have any impact plays.
No, No, he said.
Thank you, Paulie.
No, he didn't say that at all.
I know.
You guys let him get away with it. Don't let him get away.
No, oh, I don't let him get away with that crap.
In my opinion.
But he's yelling at Fred. Fred can fight his own battles.
Spike's had way more impact plays last year.
Paulie, you've got to realize when Paul's eating, he doesn't talk.
No. I told him when I saw Andy start getting up in his chair when he was yelling at you, I tapped Paul. I said, this is going to get good.
Yeah, he did.
All right, we're not done. More likely to return to the Patriots, James Ahedebo or Andre Carter?
Andre Carter.
Ooh. Yeah, Carter.
Most season starts at nickel cornerback. Sterling Moore, Kyle Arrington, or Alfonso Dennard? Or is it Dennard?
It's Dennard.
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 I'm going
cornerback.
I don't really know.
Nickel corner.
I think Kyle Arrington's going to be a starting cornerback. I don't know.
I'll go Sterling Moore on this one.
I'll say Dennard because I think Razi Dowling will probably be the other corner.
Well, if that's true, then I'll go Arrington.
So okay. Who's going to be safety?
Because you think Chung? It'll be McCourty?
If Dowling and McCourty are your cornerbacks, then I'll go Arrington as the nickel corner.
I keep forgetting about McCourty. most likely to get cut before game one, part one, Fanene or Scott?
Scott.
Part two, Josh Scott. Barrett or Sergio Brown?
Sergio.
Sergio Brown has no chance to make this team this year.
And part three, Deion Branch or Ocho?
Ocho.
Okay. That was a good little game by Mikey Vandalism.
We've broken new ground today, by the way. We now have listeners talking on the air with their mouth full, which I like.
Did I chew in it? I'm sorry, Andy.
You did? No, I don't mind it. I just think it's new ground. Usually it's just us talking with our mouth full while we do a radio show.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Do we have someone on the phone right now? Let's go to the phone. I think it's Big Al from Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Fellas, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, Al.
Very good. Long time no chat.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I missed you.
Yeah, well, you know, if I can put in a plug, Valdosta State University, my employer and a local school here, Division II national champs in women's softball.
Nice.
All right.
Very proud of that.
What's the mascot there?
Say again?
What's the mascot there?
The mascot is the Blazers. So we have Blaze, the mascot. He looks like a sort of a human cigarette lighter.
Okay.
I don't know how really cool a mascot it is, but the team seemed to do well despite the mascot.
So the women's Division II softball champions.
Yep. And I don't care what anybody says, women's softball players getting better looking every day. They're getting better looking every day.
I think they have gotten away. It used to be that the joke was that they were all lesbians and these big butch, wide-hipped, although Pauly tells me that's an attractive thing.
Did I miss that?
There are more.
Me, Pauly.
Yeah,
no,
that Pauly.
Yeah, did I miss that?
I'm not attracted to breasts and
science
it's the hips.
Science has proven that what men find attractive, what their eyes go to, is the width of a woman's thighs.
That is not fact.
Who's the guy Posey that plays in the big leagues?
Buster Posey.
We got his younger sister here playing softball.
Is she hot?
Actually, I would say on a 1 to 10, she's about a 7.5.
Do you coach, Al?
Al, why do I think
Please
you think
no.
Rosie O'Donnell
is hot? I hope
not,
because it's inappropriate for you to answer that question.
That's exactly where I was going.
I don't have her in class, so I can grade her.
Oh, okay.
1 to 10.
But you'd like to have her in class.
You have no class,
sir.
Well,
she graduates, sure.
Why don't you give me a call when you have no class?
When you're out of work, you can call us, too,
as Rodney would say.
You got to let these girls graduate. You know, you got to have some standards.
Why? She's legal, right?
It's very important. What's that?
Is that against university policy?
It's not after they graduate.
But during, it's not appropriate?
When you're there, yeah. When they're in school, you kind of want to, you know, keep it professional.
Want to keep it discreet.
No, I know what you kind of want to do. You've already told us what you kind of want to do.
Well, it's put it this way. It's look but don't touch while they're in school.
Okay.
You know, look but don't touch. They're out of school, well, you know, it is what it is. Bill Belichick.
Now, do you say this from experience?
It is what it is.
Have you partaken in the youthful fruit?
Being the kind of gentleman that I am, you know, Andy, that I shouldn't be discussing these sorts of details.
Yes, but it's entertaining me, so please.
That means yes.
Oh,
so, yeah, I'll take that as a yes.
About you, Andy. Andy, it's not. I know you think it's all about you, but it's not all about you. Well, we have a lot of listeners out there.
For me, it's all about me.
Well, let me move on, please.
Why, are you getting uncomfortable with your, job security?
Yeah, somebody at the school might be listening. That's a good point.
That would be funny.
I didn't
funny.
Even think of that.
That would be funny. Not for you.
Let me clarify what happened to Damian Woody on the gas cap, because I heard that story when Woody told it. And what had happened was Matt Light figured out what kind of gas cap, locking gas cap, that Woody had, and he replaced it with a replacement. So when Woody ran out of gas, he goes back there with his key, and all of a sudden his freaking key doesn't work, and he's like, what happened? Matt Light is, he got to give him credit. He plans these things out, and, what kind of a mind does he have? He's a very interesting dude. I think he could do, nothing against sports. Sports is great, but he could probably do more than sports. He could probably do political stuff and, all-around talk or whatever if he wanted to.
I agree.
I had a roommate. This is when I lived on Comm Ave in Boston. We had
it's like, all about me.
We had this 5-bedroom apartment, and one of our roommates didn't like us going into his room when he wasn't there, so he literally put a padlock on his door. So I went to the store and bought the identical padlock. We filed his off and put another one on. That night, for the first time ever, he brought a girl home.
Oh.
And he couldn't get into his own
room. Oh.
And we're it's like midnight, and we're in bed, and we're dying. We're laughing because we hear, what the? Jiggling it. Finally, he found the file, and he's filing it off. And the girl's standing there while he's filing off a padlock
awkward.
To his own door. So that's a good one.
Poor guy.
That is a great moment in PFW history. Right there.
Alan, if you're out there, I'm sorry.
Well, they made
Last
it in the
thing,
room,
I'll
though.
Wrap it up about Wes Welker. I mean, I think as fans, we do tend to make the mistake of we don't think about the money as being a money for potential. We think it should be a reward. Look what all the things the guy's done, pay him. But it's not. It's for what we think he's going to do.
Yep.
And his age and everything else. And, if I'm not mistaken, the Pats did draft kind of a, they've got Julian Edelman, if he can stay out of too much trouble downtown. And we drafted, I believe, a kid that's kind of a, another Julian Edelman, another one of these slot guys, didn't we, in the late rounds?
Yeah, Jeremy Ebert.
He's faster
than quick. But and then you also have Anthony Gonzalez.
There you go.
As a sort of a reclamation project.
By the way, Paul, you gotta have one of these.
It would not shock me at all to see Wes Welker either traded or no longer here.
Now let me ask you this: Andy and I were talking about this as we walked down to the show today. If you were to trade him, what do you think he would be worth? What would you accept as minimum in a trade?
At his age,
31 years old, no contract.
Yep.
So you have to take the contract into consideration because whoever trades for him is going to have to give him, I would imagine, some sort of long-term security.
Well, that's right. You got to factor in that the other team has to be willing to pay a big hunk of change,
right,
and a reasonably big hunk of change at least, and that's going to affect maybe what they're willing to give up in a draft pick and that type of thing. But if we could get a second-round pick from a team that kind of sucks where that second-round pick would be high up in the second round, I'd go for that.
I would, too. I don't know that you'll even get that high. I said to Paul, a second maybe.
Yeah, second or third was what Andy and I sort of kind of agreed upon.
Because the other thing is, at this point, I haven't done the look at all the NFL cap spaces, but they have to be able to acquire $9.5 million on their cap immediately. You can renegotiate, but you'd have. I mean, how many teams have $10 million in cap space just lying around? I know there's some.
I don't mean to jump in, fellas, but that brings to mind a question before I forget it, because I'm an old man and I forget these things.
You're an old man who likes young girls.
Well, it is what it is.
I hear you, bro.
Doesn't make him a bad guy.
How exactly did the Redskins and the Cowboys get in trouble with the cap like they did when all the other teams didn't?
Well, that's a good question, Al.
What did they do? Did they screw up on the uncapped year? Or what?
Yes.
It was in the uncap year. They used it to sort of bury some contract. I think Miles Austin was the one that they used as an example for Dallas. They gave him a huge roster bonus that was due, I think, in that uncapped year. instead of a signing bonus.
An uncapped year like an uncapped year.
Yeah, I mean, there was some definite question as to whether or not what they did was,
by the
was
way,
illegal. It was sort of a gentleman's agreement.
It was upheld, yeah.
It was upheld that they lost their appeal. Now, I don't know what their next steps are, if they'll take
okay.
it. But I think they're supposed to abide by the findings of the special master.
Is this Stephen Burbank?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think so,
him.
Yeah.
I believe Fred's right.
But that's not an issue for the Pats, obviously.
No, it was just for those two
teams.
They
benefit from it. They get a little bit of space.
Yeah, both, every team now splits what those guys were fined.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the cap goes up a little.
Did that add a lot of money to the pot or just
like
$1 million?
It was $1 million a team practically or right around there.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. I heard some chatter about that and I wasn't sure. Because, you know, it was, you know, at first when you hear, well, it's an uncapped year, well, you're thinking, well, what did they do wrong? But I guess maybe we sort of had a wink-wink agreement. That
well, that's the whole thing. And so, all right, thanks for the call, Big
thanks,
Creepy Al,
Al
from Virginia. I mean, Georgia. Why did I think he was Virginia?
Because you were too busy calling him a creep.
Right.
Let's see.
I did always think, because of his voice, I always thought he was older and he just seems very straight and narrow. And to hear him say, you know, as soon as she graduates, she's fair game was... A little out of character, out of...
A lot of those old professors like to dabble with the young co-eds, right?
Yeah, but they don't often talk about it on the radio show.
Isn't that one of the bennies of being in that position of power?
Yeah, but you lose the position of power if you wait till after they graduate.
Right. I'm sure there's... I mean, if it's going on in high school, I'm sure it's going on in college, right?
Yeah, but in high school, it's, like, illegal.
I know. That's why
it's not
saying,
illegal in college.
I know that. That's why
it's
I'm
just
saying.
Inappropriate.
I'm sure it's rampant. Teacher-student affairs in college.
Girls are such hoes.
Wow.
They are. I mean...
Well, you think it's just that way? You don't think that there's women professors with male...
Not as many.
Oh, come on.
Not as many.
You're naive.
Do you know this to be fact?
Women have needs, too?
Do you speak from experience? At Emerson?
Everything else he speaks of is from experience. Why wouldn't this be?
Did you have sex with a professor at Emerson?
And what was his name?
Yeah.
No. No, although I've been...
He shot you a dirty look right there.
I did. I got it.
I was at a party hosted by a professor.
One of those key parties?
Key parties. You weren't sure who you were
going with? No, but he had a hot tub that was
celebrity hot tub?
Was getting a lot of use, let's say.
What does that mean?
That was at Emerson.
That's just gross.
Emerson was...
Doesn't it, like, float to the top and stuff?
A lot of hanging around.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, you got
a lot of free love.
Yeah, a lot of spunk.
A lot of free love.
Yeah. Spunk. A lot of free love, spunk.
Because I specifically, I house sat for people that told me, just so you know, if you have sex in the hot tub, we'll be able to tell. Because it kind of floats to the
and
top.
And did you?
And stuff. No.
Why not?
Because, then you're having sex with everybody else who had sex in the hot tub.
Yeah, but the chemicals kill all that stuff.
I don't think so.
Not Andy's. No.
The cream floats to the top, if you know what I'm saying.
The creatine floats
Speaking
to the top.
Speaking of hot tubs, we're thinking about finding a used one. And putting it outside.
Really?
No, shouldn't do that.
I don't think that's something you buy used.
I just can't afford a new hot tub.
Yes, you can.
They're not that
expensive.
You're rich.
No, I'm
not.
Throw a little
Clorox in it. They're not that expensive.
They're like $6,000.
For you?
For me.
Drop in the bucket.
Cadillac Fred. The Cadillac crime fighter needs a hot tub.
I've looked into it.
I can't. I got a kid going to college.
I got a kid.
Let's be honest.
I got to save for that.
Let's be honest. Is he going to college?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Probably not a four-year
You might have some money opening up soon.
It's probably.
How expensive is community college nowadays?
Let's see. Tom wants to know. He cites an article by ESPN, and the question is Aaron Hernandez the third best tight end in the NFL?
No. Oh, you wanted some analysis?
Okay.
No, I saw that email, and I saw the list. It was John Clayton's. He
right.
put Gronkowski 1, Jimmy Graham 2, and Aaron Hernandez 3, just ahead of Jason Witten. The rest of the top 10 included Gates, Gonzalez, the guy from Cincy.
Guy from Detroit.
Not the guy from Detroit.
No?
I thought he was an interesting omission.
Okay. Pettigrew? What about Fells?
No, Fells isn't there.
He's only the best third tight end.
He's the third.
Right. He's not the third best.
Dustin
He's the
Keller
best third.
Was one of them. Dustin Keller.
Yeah, I think.
But
yep.
I do
How
not.
Heath Miller?
Personally, I don't believe he was in there.
Yeah. See, they don't ever look at a guy's blocking.
Right. But
it's amazing to me.
It's hard to compare because I think there's all around tight ends and then there's the slot pass catching tight ends, which is part of the problem. But then the other issue is, I mean, Aaron Hernandez had a very good year last year. Jason Witten had more catches, same amount of yards, similar touchdowns, and has done that or better for like a decade. So to me, Jason Witten's better. Until he stops being better, he's better.
Yeah, you love Witten.
I think Witten is a phenomenal player. I think you can't argue his production. I don't think you can argue his versatility.
I'm not dismissing
him. He's an all-around tight end.
He's a very good player.
Who plays with a jag quarterback.
I agree with that, too.
So I think Jason Witten is the second best tight end in football, in my opinion, behind Rob Gronkowski, because I give credit to guys who are all-around, who catch 80 passes plus do other stuff.
Well, that's why I asked you about Heath Miller. I mean, Heath Miller's not a guy who's ever going to catch 80, 90 balls a year. That's not the way they play.
Right.
But he's also a big part of their protection in the passing game, in run blocking, and he's a very good receiving tight end.
Right.
It's not like he can't catch. And the Patriots learned that firsthand in that first quarter last year when he was catching everything
five
in
passes
sight.
Or whatever.
He's a good player, and I don't think he gets his due. And the larger issue here is tight end is just blown up. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a good tight end now, really, except for the Giants. Giants are the one team, ironically enough, they won the Super Bowl, but they're one of the few teams that really doesn't have a very good, productive tight end.
Robin Marlboro says, hey, guys, minus Eric. I wanted to chime in about heirlooms. I have a Swiss wristwatch.
I could not say that. No way.
From my grandfather. I also have a World War I Army Air Corps uniform. My favorite came from my other grandfather for a number of reasons. We are pretty sure it is an original copper nail from the USS Constitution. Wow. I enjoy the Andy bashes anyone that disagrees with him part of the show. So along those lines, Andy, I disagree with you, but I agree with your mother every so often. Good, Rob. That's excellent.
That was good.
Let's go to the phones. Ken's in North Carolina. Hey, Ken. Hey, Ken.
Kenny.
How are you guys doing up there?
Oh, Ken, potty mouth. How you doing?
Hey, listen. You know, somebody said, you know, the last time you played football was before the women got their vote, which was 1918.
That would be Eric. That was a very classless remark by Eric.
You don't have to defend yourself. If it looks like a rat and smells like a rat, I have no problem with you calling it a rat.
It was a rat.
You got to believe it, brother.
Good for you, Ken. Right. Good for you.
It was 2 days before my 63rd birthday.
Yeah. You know, you just can't use that word. Call him a douche next time.
Okay. Is that okay?
Actually,
apparently that word is okay.
I did not call him an a-hole. What I called him was an m-hole.
What's an m-hole?
Masshole?
Well, if you live down here and you come from Massachusetts.
Oh.
You're called a mass.
Yeah, but he's from Rhode Island.
Well, that's the problem with the South. Too many Southerners.
Okay. Anyway,
Paul's an asshole.
Even Fred kind of chuckled at me on that one.
I like
that. Question for you guys.
When I was 14.
With his English professor.
First time you got to hear that one live, huh?
Great timing. I saw a list of what rookies were making, and I don't know if it was on this or ESPN or something else on the rookies in the Patriots camp, and the top paid rookie I think was $18,000.
No, that's undrafted players and what they got guaranteed
up front. Yeah,
and is that for the year?
No, they will, if they make the team, they will get a $385,000 salary.
I said, holy.
Yeah, no, that's. Man. That's just basically after the draft ends, all these, you know, hundreds of kids who didn't get drafted, all the teams are calling because all the teams want a few of them. And there's sort of a bidding process. And, you know, I'll give you 7,000 and, well, the Colts are going to give me 8, but it's minimal money.
Yeah. Well, and that's fine. I understand that. And I was just surprised at the amount. And I was wondering, is that per game or if you don't make the team, this is what you get?
Yep. Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Sort of, because you also get some workout and training camp coin. But, yeah, essentially that's if you don't make the team, you're going to walk away with that money. If you make the team, you're going to walk away with a lot more.
Okay. That was my question.
All right, Ken.
All right, Ken.
That was
thanks
an easy one.
Call.
Call back next time. Call Eric a masshole.
I will.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. Let's go to Anthony in Naples, Florida. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys? And Dancing Queen Paul Perillo.
Hey, what's going on, man?
He still hasn't gotten over that, right?
No, I was very upset.
You were.
Very upset last week.
That's okay. I respect that, Paul.
I'm glad I have your respect. I've been striving for it the whole time.
It's fine. You're Italian. You have rhythm. You can probably dance.
So I don't think
no
so.
No big deal. No?
I think you're giving him a little too much credit.
Yeah. Not a great dancer. I tried hard.
Take it all back. You're just a queen then. But actually, I'm calling to save Fred some money. Don't waste it on a spa.
Yeah, but, oh, man, I love hot tubs. I really do. You take one before you go to bed, you sleep like a baby.
You do? But how many times are you going to be walking out there in the cold to get into your hot tub?
I would do it.
Are you going to put it on your deck?
No, not. I would put it down below.
Yeah, but if you put it on your deck, then you can just
jump
out.
Put it on
the deck,
the deck will collapse.
I thought you had a brand new deck.
It's still on four legs.
Under-engineered?
My cousin has one on his deck.
Yeah, a lot of people do, because that way you can zip out the slider, hop in, and get back in quick.
That's exactly
you don't
want
it down the stairs. You're never going to
use it. Yeah, you'll never use it in the winter.
I'm not going to walk all the way
down
there.
But you do have a way to get outside from downstairs, too, in your house, because, as we know, Fred lives in a mansion with many, many different...
Many access points.
2,000-square-foot mansion.
How many square feet do you have?
2,400.
Okay, big difference there.
Yeah, he's right. If you,
that's a big difference.
You don't want a $6,000 hot tub that you never use again.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a complete waste of money. To be honest with you, a good amount of my customers, some of them have some hot tubs.
Yeah.
Never use it.
I know. You're right. A lot of that's why there's
Up there in the north
for sale. Right.
It's cold.
I know.
Yeah. You got to get the. I mean, Anthony, you probably have a lot down there that have built in though, right? To the pool.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Now those are okay, right?
Yeah, that's fine because that's part of the pool.
But they still require the same maintenance.
No, but it's just part of the pool maintenance. It's all connected.
I know.
The water drains out of the hot tub into the pool, right?
That's how my parents is. But I'm just saying the people that have the separate hot tub never use it. It's always closed up. They never bother using
it. No, you're right. I've seen it. Yep,
this
right.
is as impractical as an alpaca was.
No, that was a great idea. I'm really bummed you dropped that.
I am too, and I
was really into it.
It's just not this year.
Yeah,
I haven't
like NFL. What are we going with now?
Just got a finger wag.
Well, we're going to Disney World.
Oh, that's right. That's much better. Yeah,
but I'm going to get eventually. I'm going to get those alpacas. I went up to New Hampshire to the Woolen.
Dreams not dead.
To the wool show, and they had all the alpacas, and
the
I was like,
wool show?
Yeah. Well, I was with my wife's Mother's Day, so you do.
You take it to an alpaca show.
Well, but I was there, and
everybody takes their wife to an alpaca.
I was kind of bummed looking at him, and I was like, well, I wish I had gotten.
Every mother grew up with nothing but an alpaca in a dream.
Yeah,
that's how it starts.
We'll get him. Go ahead, Anthony. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's just it's laughable. It's not like a puppy.
I know. I don't understand this longing for an alpaca.
Oh, yeah. I wish I.
It's like a hobby, and you'd never get one. I was going to have three.
Yeah, because you have all the time in the world. Clearly,
right. He tells us he doesn't watch new TV shows because he doesn't have time.
I don't want to get wrapped up in anything.
I had neighbors who were going to try and breed goats because they were going to make soap. From the goat's milk.
With a slot?
Not in the slot, unfortunately.
Right. Okay.
But they started with 3 goats. Okay. They ended up with 20 goats.
Oh, my God.
It was a nightmare. The whole block smelled like urine. And it was just, they were on top of one another. It was just disgusting. It was horrible. And they ended up taking all the goats and they ended up selling them to a farm where they ended up slaughtering all the goats.
Oh. Wait a minute. Why do you slaughter goats? People eat those?
Yeah, you can eat them. Can't you?
Or probably when
maybe they didn't slaughter them.
They probably was just. Too many goats.
There were so many goats.
Mowed them down.
A buddy of mine, Chris Del Conte, used to come over to the house all the time and go, oh, look at your goat farm next door. Oh, you got a goat farm. Look at your goat farm.
No, I know what you're saying. It's not
very practical.
It would be cool, though.
Why?
Did we lose Anthony?
No, I think he got sick and hung
up. He hung up.
Sorry.
Okay. I love it when
you
our listeners hang
you can make a lot of money
us.
Off of alpaca, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't really getting into it for that.
No, we're going to just spin the wool. We're going to sell it. The wool.
That gets a good amount of money.
Alpaca wool is better than sheep wool, for sure. There's no doubt about
less
it.
Less allergies, right? Is that what the...
Yep, that's true, and it's softer. Hmm. Yeah. The color, it comes in different colors. You don't have to dye it. You can, but you don't have to.
Andy, you wear anything like that? Any wool or alpaca material?
No.
And in your car seat, you got like a wool?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Now,
Andy, he's got like, what do you got, 35 acres over at your place? How many acres?
I told you, I have like 3 acres.
No, you have like 15,
you said. No, I've never said that. You say that. No, well, a part of it, it's a potato field, so I don't have to cut the whole
thing. You grow potatoes?
I don't. A guy does.
So you rent out your yard?
Not really. It's kind of a long-standing family.
He has indentured servants.
He just gives me potatoes.
Wait, so it's you pay taxes on the property, but he grows. Where's the water come from?
He doesn't water. Just nature.
Just nature makes. Well, that's true. You guys get a lot of water here. That's, yeah, I so forget he, that. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I
don't know. Leave it. What do you care?
Because if he didn't do it, I would have to somehow deal with this large chunk of land.
Yeah.
So he harrows it. He, you know, does everything to it.
Harrow. That's a good word.
When is he going to let it go fallow?
Mm.
Occasionally he switches sides. Sometimes he'll do half a field and half a field and go back and forth. But a lot of times he plants stuff in the winter that redoes it, like winter wheats and stuff that rejuvenate the soils.
You ever have a controlled burn?
No.
No?
We do that in Cali a lot.
Yeah.
They have controlled burns in California. Right?
There's nothing to burn because he keeps it maintained.
Mm.
Okay.
You should do a controlled burn on your property.
I would like to. I'd like to get rid of all those trees. Slash and burn.
I want
to get rid of every single one of them. If I never see a leaf again in the rest of my life, it'll be too soon.
You rake it all by yourself?
Oh, my God.
No, he has a vacuum.
Well,
one of
those
big lawn vacuums.
Driving it's still
around,
a lot of work.
Oh, driving around. And
I don't drive anything. I walk.
It's a lot of work.
What?
You're always looking for the easy way out. Whether it's a robotic gutter cleaner, whether it's a gym where you work out with a computer.
The nut wizard.
The juicer, the nut wizard.
It's called,
why are you always looking for the
easy
way out?
It's called progress.
Yeah.
You're always looking for the easy way out. Just do it the traditional way and get it done.
Progress.
Rake the leaves.
Yeah.
I did
grow your own potatoes like they did in 1700s.
Yeah, you can make vodka out of
it. As long as someone else is doing it.
Yeah, it's always about alcohol.
What?
Vodka.
What?
You can make a good, really
maybe
good.
Maybe I just drink to get
hey, evidently, Freddie, the Burbank ruling, we were talking about the when Big Al called in.
Yep.
His ruling was that the cap penalties and reallocations were valid amendments to the CBA, and that can't be challenged. So it's not like he ruled in favor of the NFL or against the Cowboys and Redskins. Basically, what he's saying is the NFL and NFLPA agreed to their CBA amendment here, and that's binding. That's what he's – so it's not – I don't think he's necessarily saying whether or not one was right or
right,
wrong.
Right.
He's simply saying that
– you agree to it.
Yeah,
you have to, yeah.
The decision says the NFL and NFLPA are allowed to make binding amendments to the collective bargaining agreement. So you agreed to it, so that's that.
Seems pretty flimsy, though. I mean, we know that,
seems
right?
Totally unfair.
They're
though.
Allowed to do that. Well, yeah. I mean, they do it every year.
Right,
yeah.
No,
I don't know.
I knew I mean, when the players got an,
and this
on board
is on,
that it was going to be an uphill battle to fight if you're the Redskins because it's basically 30 owners and all the players on you. That doesn't mean you're not getting screwed.
And this is on Twitter, too, so there might be some important detail being left out of these. So.
Those two characters that were key. Yeah, got chopped
I mean,
off.
We haven't mentioned the owners are at an owners meeting as we speak, and I guess a lot of those rule changes that – they talked about and tabled in the last meeting they're going to actually bring up and
right.
See what they can pass this time. So.
Mortensen said they are expected to pass the change in the trade deadline, bumping it back 2 weeks. They're expected to pass the one-player concussion roster exemption, and they already passed the roster expansion to 90. I still don't really understand how that happened.
I saw, is it the same thing, the concussion thing, as one player can come off IR after week 8? Is that a different thing?
Those are two separate rules. I
okay, because
I
had seen something this morning
slot.
That said that was supposed to be passed.
Sounds like they're
going to
pass them all, or most of whatever was tabled.
I think the concussion thing is a dangerous road.
I think they're all dangerous roads with these coaches.
Because now you call a leg injury a concussion, and you can stow them away?
Well, I suppose that's another reason. I just think concussions, you should just... deal with the concussion. I mean, we haven't enough problems, like you said earlier in the show, about how they're treated and how the doctors are handling them. And
right.
I just don't think you should make any kind of special rulings for these things. Let's make sure they're taken seriously. You know,
no,
it's
but
not,
this
you know,
is in an effort to take it more seriously because
yeah, I
there's
think
no
that's
pressure
they,
to have the guy active because he doesn't count
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going with, but it's only 1 week. So how much are you really getting?
Well, it's one per week.
One per week, yeah. So then what
right,
happens the
be,
next week?
It could be the same guy. It's one spot per week. It could
okay,
be the same
so
guy
so what happens
for six.
If the team has more than one guy?
Oh, you're
that's
out.
What I'm
you're
right.
Out.
So just,
but how's that any different than now?
Yeah, I think that you'd be more apt to put a guy with a concussion on IR, and that's where he belongs, if you ask me.
Wait, but we've already gotten past that if you buy into the independent neurologists that are now involved.
Right.
So you don't buy into that either.
No.
He doesn't buy into anything.
Well, I mean, I think you saw it last year. They had independent neurologists involved in how that
the
work
doctors
out for
are
Colt
called.
McCoy.
They weren't involved until after Colt McCoy. Whoa! They weren't involved until after Colt McCoy. They were brought about.
So the doctor wasn't dealing with somebody else.
There
at
was
the time?
No independent neurologist involved. That's why they were brought on okay. board. Is because of the Colt McCoy
all right.
issue.
I'm skeptical. That's all.
And
I don't have any
be.
Fact.
The league
I don't have any fact.
The league has created the skepticism by their history. But
I don't think they should be making separate rules for concussions. I think they should be dealing with that very, very seriously.
But is,
and I'd rather see guys on IR.
I don't get why it's
a
negative. I don't understand that.
Because I don't think that we should be worrying about, let's try to make it so we can make it easier for him to come back. I think we should be erring on, if he has a concussion, if anything, they should be saying he has to be on IR or something like that.
But guys,
if they have to make separate rules. I know. And I don't think that we should be making separate rules for them. That's what I'm saying. If we're really going to treat it seriously, I think we should try to protect the players.
But I think
and I think this is trying to get
this.
Them back on the field faster.
Oh,
without
I,
any repercussion.
I think most players
without
don't
any
go
roster
on IR
repercussion.
With a
the problem is like
I agree with you.
So this is a way to protect them a little bit
this
more.
This is a way to make it easier for him to come back.
I know, but
well, they
I
all
don't,
come
I don't
back
like
anyway.
It.
Based on recent history, they all come back except for about, you know, a half dozen or whatever. You see a guy went on IR with a, but most of them come back.
Yeah, and I think it's going to see even more come back now because they're not going to have roster repercussions. They can save them.
Nah, they didn't really have them before. I mean,
the problem
they're
going to run
forever.
In, and I know they're trying to figure out, is defining a concussion. Is it the 1,500 that a guy has over his career?
Oh, yeah, but
you know, or is it just the big hit?
That has nothing to do with the NFL right now because it's not possible.
That
so you have to
that
work
I agree
within
with Andy.
The science, the limitations you have. That's not going to be solved. They can only work with what they have right now. The other thing is. And what's our guy's name who has been sending us all the emails and with information?
Yeah, I don't know his name.
I wanted to ask him something because he's done so much research. There was a product brought about recently that there's been some talk about, the Guardian.
Yeah.
I had always remembered that because of, what was it, Kelso had the
Mark Kelso?
And the foam one. I had always been taught or heard that there was research done that those actually make it worse because they eliminate the glancing blow. Because it the way helmets are now, there's more glancing blows that don't lead to concussions because
they slide off
hard
each
forces
other.
And the
that
padding
extra piece on
it.
Mark Kelso's helmet was a foam piece.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I never knew that.
And that's why they said those didn't catch on, because the science was kind of vague on it might actually be worse because it makes the impact. There's more friction, and so there's.
Well, that makes total sense.
And that's why I wonder about these things that are coming out
to
now.
More neck injuries.
Well, yeah, and this new thing is just an updated version of that. It's a snap-on thing. They're designing them now for practice, so you would have limited hits. But I wonder if the science backs up the use of these Guardian things, and maybe it makes it worse. That's what I mean. The root problem here is science. It's not the NFL. It's not the equipment makers. The problem is, until science and medicine figures out what's a concussion, how do we deal with it, how do they get it, you can't answer the question.
I mean, the bottom line is humans aren't supposed to be battering rams, and that's what they do, and you either do it or you don't. You know, I think Ocho, we go back to Ocho's
letter to dad,
you know, he was
right.
He hit the nail on the head.
No, but we've gone beyond that. We have medicine that, I mean.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're going to find out. Humans shouldn't be doing this.
Well, there's a lot of things humans shouldn't be doing. I don't think God intended us to be flying across the world.
But I don't think finding
you
out
have
about
feet,
it is going to make it any better. It's just going to validate
wait a minute.
What we
you
already
don't
believe
in science and technology?
I do believe
that,
but
that was quite a leap there, though.
Hugely.
No, we have science
God
and technology.
God was anti-transportation?
I don't want any planes made. No planes.
If he
the man
number
must
11.
Not fly. You
if
will
he
walk.
Intended us to fly, we'd have wings.
No, he gave us brains so we could figure stuff out.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we should figure out how to play football without killing everybody. Not
okay,
just
great.
Men weren't intended to bang heads into each other.
Well,
wash our hands of it.
Well,
that's
well,
what Fred
he's
wants
making
to do.
A point
no, I don't think
the,
Fred said they should wash their hands
right.
of
that's
the game.
That's what he said. You either exactly bang your head or you don't.
Yeah, I think
exactly
what he's saying is there's no way to prevent head injuries.
Right.
Because
I don't
it's inherent in the game.
I don't know that.
There's many things.
But how can you hit without?
Maybe there's a better helmet. There's a better this.
Well, there's
no,
a pill
you
take.
Maybe there's a pill you take that solidifies the liquid in the wall of your brain and makes it a little more cushiony.
Now you're getting real freaky on me.
What? I am, but that's my.
I'm usually the one
no,
that comes
no
up with
but
that
isn't
idea.
There great.
But is that an implausibility that
no.
they could design a pill that thickens your brain
yes.
liquid so that your brain doesn't move as much?
I
it's a soft
I
cushion.
I wouldn't
we are
rule
very
it out.
Intelligent species. We can come up with solutions
no,
to problems.
But you're trying to come up with a solution.
No, not your brain. The fluid around your brain.
Yeah, sure but you coming up with a solution to the problem.
I'll fight all of you if I have to.
No,
if you back me into a corner, I'll take you all. Roid
rage. No one's fighting you. I'm saying, but your suggestion
pack.
Of
again
of a technological advancement is not the same thing as Fred saying,
no,
we should just stop playing football.
He poo-pooed it.
He didn't
say
that.
God didn't intend men to bang heads.
No, I said the bottom line is
he didn't intend us to fly either.
But he didn't say God didn't intend us to bang heads. He didn't then extrapolate from that by saying, so we just need to ban football.
No,
forever.
His basic, his tone was that there's no solution. I don't know that there's no solution.
I think it's very tough. I think at some point the solution is acceptance.
I mean, God didn't.
I don't agree with that.
Didn't
I think
want people to throw the ball the way they do in baseball with, shoulder
science.
And elbow injuries.
Well, and the solution is science. They fix
those
with Tommy John surgery.
But you still
and they
go. But you still go into the game knowing if I play baseball in my life, there's probably a pretty good chance I'm going
to
end up with a shoulder or elbow problem.
And doctors
at some point.
Continue to
now,
try to
Now, it's not
to
as serious as a head injury.
But doctors but continue to try to fix those.
They do.
Or
but
they try to figure out ways
Fred's
to
Fred's with you. He's
work.
Not saying ban football.
Yeah, fixing
He's
isn't
with
preventing,
you.
Though.
He's
but they also
you.
Try to prevent them through modern training programs, through
They
pitch
do
counts,
the best that they
whatever.
Can. And the NFL
right.
is
But
is
even though
do
God didn't
thing.
Intend the man to throw 100 pitches every day.
Right. But well, there are some, there, and it's a small faction, there are some that say, you know, people shouldn't play football.
Right.
You know,
and that's their opinion,
and those
so don't
people,
play football.
Until you eliminate concussions, they'll always say that, and you'll never eliminate concussions.
See, that's what I don't agree with.
I don't
know why science would ever say I'm never going to be able to do this. I will try to do this until
I think you can reduce them.
Yes,
but
how do you know you can't stop them?
I mean,
didn't they think they couldn't stop many diseases in history that have now been stopped?
Unless you change the nature,
I mean, true.
Unless you change the nature of the game, this isn't a germ, okay?
Right.
I'm loving Andy's God argument.
It's
and on
an
the
injury,
fifth day,
though.
God said,
"No, no, but you think there's no chance that they can either come up with some sort of medicine, some sort of equipment, some sort that could stop concussions. You think there's no chance?
And play football the way we know it?
Yes.
Not in our lifetime.
I didn't say our lifetime. I said ever.
Not in the
let's
next.
Let's work towards
you
that.
You didn't actually think he was going to say yes or
right.
no.
Right. He
did
never
you?
Can give you a straight answer.
Yeah, he's always looking at me.
Like, so why don't we just give up?
No, I think you
just give up with everything. Why do we want better cell phones? Why do we want better TV?
I guarantee you. This is where you take it. This is where you go to the theater of the absurd.
Please don't get hysterical.
Don't lose your mind.
All right. Getting hot. I think you always work to reduce, but I think at some point you just get this football's dangerous.
Yes, everything is dangerous.
This football is dangerous. I've been reading about it on the internet.
Everything that's dangerous, we try to improve, right? You don't just say it's dangerous.
Right.
Deal with it. Sign a waiver.
But like I said, there are some people that said it's dangerous. You shouldn't be playing it. And, you know, we can't give in to that.
Right. Well, there's also people don't have to.
There's also a dump truck of money getting brought up to your house and said, here, you can play this dangerous sport. Right. We're going to give you this much money.
We've had these conversations a lot. Andy always says he would do it. If you knew the risks and you knew you were going to end up with head problems, would you do it? Andy would.
Absolutely. If that was my way of earning $9.5 million for my family, I'd do it. Just smack me in the head. Here's the $9.5 million.
Right. And a lot of people, obviously, are willing to take that risk.
Sure. And that doesn't say that science won't continue and there's not somebody out there right now trying to figure out how can I help them with this?
Like
how can
I make pill idea? Solidify the fluid just a little bit. Make it more like a jello than a liquid.
Yeah, I'm sure that wouldn't have any other effects.
Yeah, no.
Pretty sure you would have a stroke immediately.
Wait a minute. Players are willing.
We're coagulating our brain fluid. Players
are willing to pump HGH and testosterone into their bodies, but they're not willing
all
to
right,
take
you,
a chance
well,
with
Andy,
a little
what kind
jello.
Of effect has it had? Huh? How's it had a big effect on you in any way?
None, I
would. I'd be more than willing to give you a sabbatical if you want to subject yourself to these tests.
You don't think there'd be some people that'd be willing to?
Wait a minute now.
That's
that
a great
I
idea.
Do more work.
More.
Work. John
before,
and Lynn writes
before
in.
Before 10?
John and Lynn writes in, the fabulous
good
Eric went to France where through the museums he'd prance. On return, he'd allude a bit, not to be rude, how he got in some fictitious girl's pants.
No.
What do you think the chances are? Like, what if he.
0.0.
What if he took our.
You are so mean to him, man.
He has no
you
chance.
You need to leave him alone. Back
because
up a little
he's got
bit.
No
man.
Game.
No.
It doesn't matter.
No,
leave
but
him alone.
That's even irrelevant. If he targeted women he had a chance with, he'd have a chance.
I
he targets women he has no chance with.
But every guy does that.
No, no. Not like him.
No. Most guys
no,
do that.
No, most guys
well, what's your
start
situation?
Here.
What?
You're not gay, are you?
No.
You got a girl?
What does that mean?
You got a girl?
Why are you
going to
get
no,
married?
There's nothing
man.
Wrong
I'm
with being
man.
Gay.
Yeah,
I'm a married
man.
Well,
to a woman?
Ring on. I don't
well,
know.
I don't conform to Andy's God.
To
so.
A woman?
Oh, wow. That was and the most, the least God-fearing
least God
man
the
I know.
Least God-fearing person on the planet.
Anyway.
Well, he said God earlier, so I jumped
so,
on
so, all right.
I was making
yes,
a
go ahead.
I don't even
you've
want to
got game is what
you're
the term
because what's going to end up happening is I'm going to end up putting my foot in my mouth here. But I mean, can I
and
ask?
And he can do that. We've seen that on this show.
With the age differential is between
very
you and your wife?
4 years.
Okay. A very reasonable amount of time.
Right.
He would accept nothing less than, I would say, 18 years difference.
to the south.
He goes after girls very young.
Very young.
So do you think there's any chance?
Well, it's because in his mindset, he believes that he's still of that age group.
No, within that. For him, it's all about breeding.
Yeah, it's all about breeding.
It's all about, no, it is. It's for him to, you know, put his seed on the earth.
Well, that's not going to help you breed if you do that.
No, if you miss. Yeah. Yeah, but,
The point is, that's a big part of the reason is that he wants to have a family. And I respect that. It was very important to me too. And I definitely felt it as I got to my mid-30s. And I was wondering if I was ever going to be able to do that. But I never was chasing around girls that were 15 years younger than me.
How old is he?
37.
38.
38.
Maybe 39.
No, he doesn't try to meet girls who are in their early 30s.
If you're out of your 20s, he has no interest.
Yeah.
You're older than 25.
He's like Al in Georgia. I think if you're over 25, he's not interested in you.
Well,
now you understand why Andy and I give him so much problem.
And I think he's 40.
Is he really?
I think so. Oh, I think he lies.
It's terrible.
He's like a poor guy's not even here. He's a baseball player.
You know, 38.
Danny Almonte Scalabino.
I think you might be right. What does he say he is? 38?
I think he says he's 38.
I think he's only 3 years younger than me.
And how old are you?
I'll be 44 in June.
Hey,
got a little scandal here on the program.
Like, can you imagine?
I'm pretty sure he graduated 3 years after me.
Could you imagine if he took our advice and got himself a hooker just to get it out of his system and ended up getting arrested?
And he calls you from jail, right, Fred.
Right.
Tell me what you told me to.
Fred, can you send me money? Oh my God.
It's got to get on a plane.
That would be something.
And it's not just
Mr. Kraft,
it's not just
I
like
25
year olds. Yeah. It's like smoking hot 25 year olds.
Well, you got
to
give him credit. He gives it a
You give it a shot, but then you settle in reality somewhere. You lower your standards and raise your average.
And I'm not suggesting that he should just find some troll somewhere under a rock. I mean, there are plenty of people that have plenty to offer, both, you know,
sexually and intellectually.
Looks wise, total package, career people. I mean, why does he feel like the only people that are worthy of him are these ultra attractive 23-year-olds?
Probably
because he's an artist. Come on.
Because he's a pompous
asshole. He's a narcissist is what he is.
Tim in Baltimore says, would you rather be a masshole or
Ray Ray
a
is offering to do him, apparently.
You hear that?
Fred is speechless.
Pathetic.
Ray Ray, you want to get on mic? Is this an actual thing you want to do? No, you wouldn't.
What is she doing?
You taking one for the team?
What?
She says she'll do Eric.
I can't convince.
Eric's on a flight back from France right now.
Travel agent.
That's Eric on line one.
Actually, line one is the HR department
wanting
to
talk
to us.
Can you imagine how creepy that conversation would be? Well, hi, Rachel.
I brought I did a painting before I.
I do nudes. Could you
just a little to your left?
Be my muse.
Put your leg up, please.
Steve writes in. He's from the UK. He says, "Do you honestly think the additions to RD are good enough to relieve the pressure off the offense, making us a more balanced team? If I'm right, last season was the first time in ages we lost the time of possession battle due to our inability to stop opponents' drives." Is that true? Is that the first time the Patriots lost the time of possession?
I don't know if that's the first time, but they were well behind. They were 28-32 last year.
Part of that was your running game.
Time of possession. And then in the playoffs, it was even worse. It was 26-34.
I do not believe that the defense is going to be good enough to take the pressure or whatever he worded it off the offense. No. We've been talking about it. They face an uphill battle. You know, even the additions they made have a long way to go to be equal to Andre Carter and Mark Anderson and what they had. I mean, so before you can even upgrade, you kind of need to get back to that baseline. And I think people forget how good Andre Carter was.
Well, do you know, like the point that we're trying to make is I think Chandler Jones, I like the fact that we have Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower, even Jake Beckett and some of these other guys that they've gotten as opposed to Andre Carter and Mark Anderson and some of the guys that I know were kind of patchwork, but not really part of the long-term solution. But right now, in the immediate, they're probably not as good as they were last year. In those spots. Andre Carter gave you more last year than you're going to get from whoever plays that role this year. Probably. Now, 2 years from now, you might have a guy who's better than Andre Carter was last year.
Well, look at the pie in the sky comparison. Jason Pierre-Paul. Everybody is dreaming that that comparison comes true. Well,
he did nothing.
That's
his
year two.
His rookie year.
Because as we know, after year one, Don Banks was saying they should have drafted McCourty instead of Pierre-Paul because he was just kind of a part-time player. So, even if your dream scenario comes true, it might take a year or two before you get there.
That's true.
So where are you right now? With a lot of questions on defense still. More options, probably more potential,
but still a ton of questions.
All that said, I really like what they did, and we were all sort of universal about that. I really love
it.
I love the draft. I love the aggressiveness that Belichick showed, and I love the fact that he identified, I need, as Matt Light said, I need playmakers, and he went out and targeted playmakers.
All that's true. The only question is,
I wish he had done it the last 3 years.
Week two against the Ravens, will they be good enough and ready enough to perform?
Yeah, against the Ravens, probably yes, but there's some other teams that I would wonder about. Now, fortunately, they don't really play a lot of high-flying offenses this year, do you think? I mean, San Francisco and Houston and Baltimore are probably the three best teams on the schedule. And really, you know, two of those teams are kind of offensively challenged, and Houston's not really dynamic offensively.
No, but you play the Bills twice, and they have the potential to be dynamic offensively.
Sure.
Denver technically has the potential.
Well,
to
we'll
be.
See what they. I mean, Denver's kind of a wild card in all this. We don't know exactly how Peyton. I know he had a great OTA yesterday. Everybody said, but
looks good.
We'll see. We'll see how that.
He threw the ball.
Know. He's ready. His arm didn't fall off.
You know, and I'm not a doubter of Peyton Manning. Before anybody
he got
says
out of
that,
bed
but,
this morning.
Oh, my arm! All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks to Paul and Annie. Pepe Le Pen on the tweets, Kevin in the booth, Polly from L.A.
Thanks,
from
guys.
Common
Thanks
Ed,
for lunch,
Ray Ray for taking over the vino team, around. And Ray Ray spreading something else around.
And we'll be watching our commercials a little bit more carefully.
You don't know bounds, man.
All right, see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.